want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Me.
Me.
You, you, you.
Me.
You.
Me. Me.
You. You,
me,
Joe.com.
Hello.
Hello, Beth Ann.
Hello, Don.
Where is Joseph A?
He's right here. One moment.
We need him now.
Weekend is here. Have a can of beer.
And, you know, we've done some talking.
Hello.
Oh, hi there.
Joe Arringer.
About our fancy website, but Joe was telling us before the show that he has his own website, not a joke.
A real website. What's it called, Joe?
JoeArringer.com.
And what do you get when you go there right now?
My bio's on there, and you can read about and download I'm Not in Love.
Joe.
All the Lonely People. Two recordings.
You know why?
By your band. What, Robbie?
You should link to that.
That'll be a major link. Oh, there you go. Buzz is there right now, Mike. Yeah, check it out. Check out Joe's website.
That'd be the missing link.
That is a nice picture of his leg, as he told us.
JoeArringer.com. Joe, take it in your basement, I assume?
In my studio.
Oh, your studio.
Yeah.
Also, that's his basement.
No, that's upstairs, yeah. Yeah. Is that upstairs, Joe?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, anyway, listen, Joe, thank you for the weekend kickoff.
Sure.
And Joe, how have you been?
How have you been?
And I already know the answer. I've spoken to Joe, but I'll ask on behalf of all of you. How are you feeling today?
I am back, 100%.
100%. That's good news.
Joe, just in time for the weekend. Would you put Beth Ann back on, please?
Sure. Hold
Thank
on.
You. Thank you, Joe.
Does she have a website?
Yes, scatluffer.com. Hi there, Beth Ann.
Click on the reindeer.
You know, I've only been trying to call back there for the last 5 minutes.
You know, I'm always working. I'm, you know, talking
I know.
To people, reaching out.
Always chatting. did you talk to Richard Eisen, or did you email him about the games?
Yeah, I emailed him the games this morning, and he emailed me that you had already emailed him as well.
Ah, but I didn't email him any games.
But I did email him the games.
Ah.
The password is redundancy.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
There were six games in all, correct?
Yes, there were five. I don't remember how many there were.
There were six.
And I won't get into it now.
Please don't get into it at all.
Let me just say there was another fantastic email exchange between Beth Ann McBride and Todd Michael Hughes.
Very exciting.
That's all I will say, Beth Ann.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Goodbye. I'm counseling her. I'm counseling her through this man's menacing emails.
Okay, yeah, he wields the internet.
Yes, he does.
Like the Grim Reaper.
He is much more savvy technology-wise than any general manager we've had in the 14 years we've worked for Infinity.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's bad. I'll tell you why. Because the other guys would just pick up the phone and yell at you. And if you see it's them on the caller ID, you would just not pick up the telephone.
Right.
Okay, but with these guys, now what they do, when they're mad, they send you something called electronic mail.
How does that work?
I don't know.
No one does.
However, the man comes on my computer. A little, like, window opens up, and a man says, "Hey, you've got mail."
Oh, wow.
And then I open it up. Cause
and you
I
can't
love,
run away from it.
I love
you?
Mail.
Yeah,
I open
sure.
it up,
Who
and
doesn't?
It says, "Hey, ass." This is Michael Hughes writing to tell you you're an ass.
Ah, very good.
You know, have a nice day, Michael Hughes.
Does he even ask how you've been?
No, he never asks.
Rob, how have you been? How have I been? Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I got to bust a door down today.
Wonderful.
Just like on TV.
What did Carrie do?
She wouldn't listen.
She just wouldn't listen.
Come out of there!
No door can hold me.
Get out of there!
All right, go ahead, boy. I know you're dying to tell everybody you busted a door down.
I did.
Cool.
How?
Why?
Awesome.
Cool.
Because a doorknob, it broke. It, like, seized. You know the tongue that goes into the wall?
Hey.
Hey.
Watch it.
Okay, I'll try to keep this clean for
Watch
the new era
now.
Of the show. But it would not come out of the wall.
Mm.
And I tried everything. I used a hammer and a screwdriver, and I busted the doorknob.
What did you say?
Down. What's that?
You used a what?
Yeah.
Oh,
he set off the alarm.
I love it when you do it.
Oh,
see how easy it is?
Brother, you know why?
And normally you'd be all over that, Rob. You would all be all over that, like you are, like you know what, on you know what.
How would it feel to be on the other side?
Yeah.
Really good. So I used a mallet and a screwdriver, and I busted it out, and it still wouldn't come out. So what I did is I took the pins out of the hinges.
Yeah.
But since the hinges had been painted, the door remained. So what I got to do was go outside and throw my shoulder against the door, and with three mighty hits, it came clean off.
Wow.
You know what?
That awesome. That
would have been a great story if not for the fact that you set off that alarm.
I know.
It kind of lost momentum
That's
halfway
right.
through.
Yeah,
it was you had the audience there.
Yeah,
lovely
and
then
story.
When
palm
you,
of your hand.
When you get to the payoff that you really knocked down a door with your shoulder.
Yes.
It's all because of Genie Pants.
That's who did it.
I know.
Right. MC You Know Who.
Mm-hmm. Not a fan.
That's the rule. You know, we have to be sticklers like you.
That's right. I'm not looking for exemption.
Stickler boy.
As me.
Well, it's nice to see you had the power of 20 men today.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. As always.
Knocked the paint right off the door.
Hey, Rob.
Yes?
How many days until Ditka on the Don and Mike show?
I'm glad you brought it up, because I was talking to Ditka's people before the show, and we're going to have Ditka on in 5 days.
You know,
5 days to Ditka.
He can affect the weather by his mood.
That is true.
Ditka. Once again, the official count. How many days till Ditka?
5 days, Don.
5 days till Ditka.
Iron Mike Ditka, he's going to be on the show.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hey. Wow. The bells are ringing.
Hello. This is Scott Shannon.
And I'm Mill Drysdale.
No groaners. It's Friday. Five for Friday.
Wow.
Five funnies for Friday.
Fantastic. Oh, we'll all be listening down at the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills.
Hello.
Ring more bells.
This is Scott Shannon.
And I'm Bill Dreisel.
Reba McEntire will design a line of women's clothing for Dillard's. The clothes will come in three sizes. Medium, large, and Winona.
Oh.
Five for Friday. Uh-huh. Joke number four.
Four more to go. Four more to go, Mrs. Shannon.
Tiger Woods married his Swedish model girlfriend in Barbados, proving that old adage, once you go black, Native American, Chinese, Thai, you never go back.
That's okay. I'm sorry, that's okay.
Hello. This is Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, close personal friend of Granny.
And if you have a moment this weekend, let me say, the finest New York pizza is found in the Italian section, Little Italy of New York. Hats off, Chris Columbus. If you have Monday off, good for you.
Good for you.
Here on the Zoo, we'll be open as usual.
But the doors to the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills will be locked.
And now, back to the jokes.
What number are we at?
Three.
Three.
And I think you're going to notice a bit of a trend.
Very good.
These are all jokes with the same topic.
All righty then.
Motley Crue guitarist Mick Mars is recovering after undergoing hip replacement surgery. In a related story, Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee nailed two strippers. That's just part one of the three-part joke.
Oh.
Bringing us...
All right.
Five for Friday.
How many more? Two more?
Mick Mars of Motley Crue got a new hip.
Again?
Which marks the first time that the words Motley Crue and hip have been used since 1988.
Ah, Motley Crue jokes.
And then there was one.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
Motley Crue guitarist Mick Mars is recovering after undergoing hip replacement surgery.
No.
Evidently, he broke his hip while tumbling into obscurity.
Wow. Hey now.
I could end with a thought for the day.
Yes.
It's a disc jockey joke service thing.
A thought for the day, please.
This will be good.
Okay.
Strawberry Fields Forever is a beautiful image. Unless you're a migrant worker.
Hey, now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, let's do it.
In here.
It is, baby.
Everybody. Everybody.
Hello. Hi, Julia. John Kerry.
Oh, hi there.
Hi there. Hello.
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 This is Keith. Yeah, Richard.
To John and Mike.
Okay.
Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Hello.
Everybody. Yeah. Everybody.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
We are. Knock it off.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy.
Jerry.
Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And his soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
How have we been?
How have you been?
Beam. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Photo Session. And all the ships at sea. They give Bob Schieffer that tingling feeling.
Oh.
Don Geronimo and Mike. Oh.
That's right. That's it.
Hello.
Okay,
here
you
go.
Hello.
Oh, hi there.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi,
hi there, Jerry. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Friday.
Friday.
100804.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded. Right. Hi, thanks for listening. Don and Mike Show, I think we've said that enough. It's October, excuse me, Rocktober 8th.
Right. Yeah.
20-odd-4 from anywhere in America.
Aight.
877-365-3636 from Canada, 800-636-1067. Also from Mexico, that number works, and from Washington, D.C., on WJFK, 202-432-1067.
Wonderful.
Well, before we start today's show, we'll remind you, watch the debate tonight, because we'll talk about it on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
I did a charity event last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to say to all of the people who went to this charity event last night.
Yes.
Oh. What's your problem? Listen, here's the deal. You know this from listening to the radio. I'm really not a pleasant man. I have deep, deep issues.
Yeah, but you're very honest about it.
I'm able to get a lot of it out here on the radio. The last thing that I really like doing is getting in front of a group of people.
Not pleasant man.
And having to shill. Now, I've done this before. I've been an auctioneer. I've done this at my church. Mike and I have done this together.
I've done them alone.
For charity. I've done them alone, too.
I don't like them either.
And the deal is...
3, 5, 3, 4, 5.
Well, I'm glad to do this one because it's for the cigars that I love, are Arturo Fuente cigars.
Uh-huh.
And it's for their Cigar Family Foundation to help children in the Dominican Republic.
Very nice.
So the deal is that they get all these guys that like cigars, and you go to this place at the football stadium, the big place called the Humidor, where you can smoke at FedEx Field. Mm-hmm. And these guys pay money, and they get nice cigars, and they drink and eat, and then... they're supposed to auction off stuff to raise money. And all over this gigantic room at the Redskins Stadium, they have the pictures of these kids in the Dominican Republic. They're it looks like the Peace Corps pictures.
Right.
You know, CARE or Red Cross, whatever it is. You've seen the Sally Struthers pictures, you know, that needy kid there. So they go through all the rigmarole to say thanks for being here and the toast. And incidentally, here's Don. And
that's how you were introduced to.
No, it was very. They were very nice. Drew Newman from who's the SOB, son of the boss. He was there. Doogie Howser. He got up and said a few words and then passed it off to me. Now at this point, this is a disinterested group, and I say if you're going to go somewhere and be in a function where there's going to be an auction, For God's sake, if you're not going to participate, get up and go take a leak or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least get up and walk around. Don't sit there. It was a combination last night of Joe Pesci from Goodfellas, because I felt like saying, what, do I amuse you?
Am I here for your amusement?
Listen, the first thing I said was, ain't that traffic a bitch? Because it took like an hour and a half to get to the stadium last night. And right. There was
Charlie M., you made me pop your eye out for Charlie M.
I go to the casino, but that's also great. That's when he's got his head
never
in the
heard that.
I've never heard that.
Charlie M. You made me do that. Don't make me be a bad guy.
All right. But
there you go, Mike. See, now you can add Pesci to the list.
Yes, very good.
So that's how I'm feeling, because I'm standing up. I feel like I'm naked in front of...
So they're not paying attention to you.
No, it's not that they're not paying attention, but they're not paying attention.
They're not bidding.
There are TVs on, right. But there's no sound on the TVs. There's nobody talking in the room. It is drop-dead silent.
Ooh, the
worst. Like a funeral parlor. And I say, now, we're this is for charity. How about that traffic? Ain't that traffic a bitch? Well, we all made it here tonight. And whatever this item is, a beautiful lit sign of some kind, I say, last year, this sign sold for $500 at this auction. That's about the range that they're looking for to get for stuff for this charity. About
right.
$500. You know, it's expensive, but these guys know it.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already paid $50 to get their ass inside.
They've got the money.
So, I say, last year they sold for $500 each. How about this year we start the bidding at $300? I mean, there's nothing.
Oh, boy. Wow.
And I know that there will be people who do this all the time, who say this is the wrong strategy. What I immediately did was go on the offensive. I said, as I started to walk around the room, I took off my jacket.
You have a wireless microphone?
No need. There was only about 75 people there, and in the humidor, if they're all crammed into one area,
right?
Actually, I was kind of into my Reverend Al Green thing. I was kind
so you,
of
you were without you were sans microphone.
I was. That's why I'm a little raspy today. Because
right.
I was preaching last night to the
Amen
to these jerk faces. I walked around. I said, I can't believe this. There's not one hand up. Nobody in this room. Why did you come to a charity event where you know that there's going to be an auction, and not one of you...
Did you get right into that?
Yeah, that's first thing. I said, I can't believe this. There's not one friggin' hand up. I said, what, am I going to have to buy everything myself? Please, somebody, put a hand up. Somebody, say, I came here to donate money to... Meanwhile, I'm looking at the guys from the cigar, you know, uh-huh. company, and they are looking at me like I have flipped my lid. And finally, some guy out there raises his hand, uh-huh. and he says, okay, $350 for whatever this sign right. or whatever. And I go, oh, thank God. I say, that. Dare I say it? Do we have... $351? This is only the first item.
Oh, right. No.
Do we have $351? Again, it's silent. So I go, sold. Trying to keep this positive. Yeah. I go, sir, I walk over to the guy, shake his hand, go,
thanks. Did you do it going once?
Yeah, the whole thing. So it's sold. Goodbye. You saved $150 off last year. Now, next item is, guess what? Exactly the same as the last item we had, because these were so popular last year.
Right.
They have two of the, and they're big lights like they put in cigar shops.
Right.
They have this Opus X, this cigar band logo.
Right,
and it's
right.
lit from the
real
back.
Nice high dollar item.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, I'm sure it retails for like, I'm sure they buy it for about $40, but
right.
what the hell, you can't
right.
buy it because it's for a store.
Mm-hmm.
And besides... You dopes, it's charity. I mean, they were really pissing me off. So we get to the second one, and I say, okay, I'm Henry the Eighth. I am second verse, same as the first. Here's the same item. They're looking at me. I said, fellas, we got to start the bidding here. We've got to start the bidding. To a man, and it was a male event.
Uh-huh.
They sat there with their arms folded, looking at me. So what I did next was walked over to where they had one of these big stand-ups, a big cutout of these kids in the Dominican Republic standing in front of a school that had been built for them.
Right.
And I started walking around the room, holding the sign in front of me, and walking up to men and going, uh-huh. Hi there, don't you have a few dollars in your pocket?
to help me.
Oh, my God.
Because that's why you're here, to help children in the Dominican Republic.
And these guys...
Not a laugh?
First off, not a laugh.
Oh, dear.
Second,
oh God.
Nobody says, like, just, hey, okay, enough. You're putting pictures of kids in front of our faces. These guys, at this point, this is when the game begins. And I see a couple of guys sitting back like, oh, this is going to be fun. We're not going to give this jerk anything.
Right.
So,
oh God,
I'm going, okay.
And you're getting angrier.
Yeah, and I'm trying not to get angry because it's charity. And I'm actually turning at one point to the people, the guy from the cigar place, like going, you know, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, what did they want you to do?
So then they said, well, let's go to a lower ticket item. You know,
all right.
Let's go to a lower ticket item.
Uh-huh.
Let's go to the baseball hats. Okay? So now we're going to go to the baseball hat area.
Not usually your best item for auctioning.
Yeah. Now these retail ads. 1995.
Uh-huh. What did you start the bidding at?
I say, because it's charity.
Right.
How about $25?
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
Not a hand. So then I say, okay, how about $10? That's half off retail.
Right.
With that, four or five hands
sure,
go up.
A bargain.
Four or five hands go up. Meanwhile, I'm still dying a thousand deaths because I've got all of these items behind me, and I've reached the point where I don't know what to do. I mean, if I was on the radio, I would know what to do.
Yeah.
If I was in the situation on the other side in real life, if I was one of these jerks in this room, I would get up and leave.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to be on the other end of this.
It's just generally uncomfortable for everybody.
And being in my skin, I don't like it. Now, it is a live auction for charity, and we have reached a point where there is no conversation. No one in the room is saying anything.
Wow.
At this exact moment, and I swear on my kid's life, at this moment, my cell phone rings. Now, to show you the level of cricketdom that this gala, star-charged Fuente event was bringing, it was so quiet in the room, everybody could hear the phone ring, which was in my jacket pocket, which was at the bar.
Did that get a laugh?
So, it did not.
Of course not.
The phone, there's silence,
oh
the phone's
God.
Ringing. So then I think now, because, well, what can I do? And it's not going well. I said, if you'll all excuse me a moment, I got a phone call. Thinking they'll laugh.
Right.
They don't laugh.
No.
I go over, I pick up the phone. I'm like, so they don't recognize the number, right? I go, hello? I'm just standing over by the bar.
Hello?
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 Totally irrelevant to anything to do with this, but it's Jeff Shrinsky.
Oh, God.
An old friend.
I mean,
that's timing, baby.
And I say, Jeff, I'm in the middle of a cigar event right now. He said, oh, yeah, I know you are. I just called, and I just want to tell you, I'm living in Chicago now. I said, great, Jeff, I'll have to call you back. Okay, bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And I'm thinking, how do I handle this? Because I've got my back turned on this room of fellas.
Yeah.
So I put the phone back. I go, listen, I apologize about it. I shouldn't have answered the phone. It's a reflex thing. The phone rang. This is not going too good. I know you're probably wondering who was on the phone.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was God on the phone. God putting an offering on your heart.
Is God putting an offer on your heart?
I said, that was a call from God. And he's really, really pissed at everybody in this room.
and he laughed there.
There is no, there's not even, not a titter.
Oh,
and it's great to be able to say that word.
Sure. Sure.
Not a titter of laughter. There ain't nothing.
Oh, boy.
And
God.
At that point, I just said, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. Let's see. We had some extra packs of these special cigars that these guys got, and they generously, I think we sold maybe 6 or 7 out of 25 extra packages of these exclusive cigars.
Well, that's great.
So after these guys did their thing, I said, good night, and, you know, wrote my check for all the crap that I ended up buying.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting at the bar. Having a diet beverage, when some guy came up to me and said, now, a lot of guys came up and were very nice and said, hi, I'm a big fan of the show. And,
uh-huh.
and you know, some of the people did buy some of the stuff, so
right.
it wasn't a total washout, but it
good.
Was an awful auction.
Yeah.
But this one guy comes up to me and says, excuse me. And I said, yes, sir. He's an older gentleman. He said, I just want to say I didn't appreciate the language. I said, well, what can I say? It's the way I speak. I said, and actually, you folks brought it out in me. He said, did you think that you might have gotten a little more if you hadn't used the profanity? I said, I don't think, I said, and when I use profanity, I tried to use it in a way that would relate to it, because we're all men. He said,
the profanity bothered him?
Here's what he said. He said, I was offended when your first remark was, ain't that traffic a bitch? And I said, hey, dude.
Oh, my God.
I said, really, it's just a figure of speech. I'm just loosening up. I'm just seeing. He said, well, that's why I didn't buy anything. And aww. I know that's crap, and I wanted to just grab this old man and just smack him on the face. Mm-hmm. And finally I said, I tell you what, whatever you would have bid on, how about you do it right now, you write a check, and I'm sure Gary will get you the merchandise, I'll match the bid.
Mm-hmm.
I'll match the bid. Because if I'm the reason, because I said, the guy said, the moment has passed.
Oh, no.
Screw
I am.
And to that point, I said right to his face, okay, buy ass. ask any of the barmaids that were working. I got a big laugh because he stood there for just a second and looked at me. And I said it again. Buy ass. You know, and at this point, I've totally blown it. I'm the emissary for the cigar company at their freaking, you know, let's raise a lot of money for Dominican kids.
It is impossible not to get angry in those circumstances. When you're in a room, I think we've all done them, where they're not responding in an auction, it is so hard not to take it personally because, it's amazing.
And I tried to, here's the thing, I dig it. I've been dragged to those things before, but you're talking about, in this case, guys who sought out tickets for this event, and then they like start heckling me with stuff that I didn't get. And I know a lot about at least this line of cigars, these Fuente cigars. One of the guys, when they're not bidding, just like starts taunting me and says, where's the BDMF we've heard about? Now, this is a special line of this cigar that I guess, this was a nationwide event. This auction was done in like 25 or 30 cities across America. And I guess on a website, at some of these things, they said they would have this particular cigar. And I said, I don't know. I didn't bring the cigars. Well, what's the point? If they're not the BBMF, what's the point? Mike, listen, again, sir. Hi, I'm a disc jockey. I enjoy cigars. I'm here to do a charity event. I didn't bring the BBMF or...
What a nightmare!
Wow. And it just... I mean, they'll tell you that it went great, and they made the amount of money that they wanted to.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I think it went awful.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure Gary Pesh, the cigar guy, will tell you that it went great, mm-hmm. because what's he going to say to me? I mean, this is what I'm thinking as I'm going home last night.
Sure.
I'm thinking... What's Gary going to say to me at the end of this? Hey, thanks for losing your temper in front of 50 people. And I'm overblowing it because I didn't really lose
my temper. No, but I know exactly what you're going through. Well, of course I know what you're going through.
Humorless. And I'm
it's very similar to that one that I did for the USO earlier in the year. You feel as though, you know, you take it personally. Yeah. And it's really a terrible, terrible feeling. I feel for you 100%.
Wow. And, you know, there were some people, and I want to make it out like they were all jerks, although they were all cheap. I don't know why you go to an auction that you're invited to, that you paid for to go to, and that if you're not going to at least, you know, raise your hand for something.
You know, the best one that I ever went to was for Giant Food. I think it was the big grocery store chain, and at the time there was a guy, and I remember his name, who was the bigwig at Giant Food named Pete Manos, and I stood up there on the podium, and Pete Manos had all of his executives from Giant Food in the front, like, four tables. And he was walking from table to table. And I was getting like $1,000 for a hockey puck. Because this guy would basically stand in back of one of the tables. That's and all his executives are in. That's the best one I
an
ever
enforcer.
Did.
Enforcer.
And that, you know, I think really a lot of these auctions, you need a little enforcer back there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well,
and the only reason I'm even mentioning this is that some of these guys, I had to finally say at the end of the evening, you want to know what I'm all about? Turn your radio on 106.7 tomorrow.
Right.
That's what I'm all about. Because one of these guys, the guy that was wearing, and I urge him to call in because he's the guy that I gave the frequency to, like he doesn't know about our show. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The guy lives here, says he'd live here all his life.
Well, I've never heard of you.
Yeah,
right. Come on.
So anyway, the guy's got a Redskin shirt on, like a coach's shirt. And at one point, when I'm desperately trying to just get them to make a bid on these items, I said, are there any season ticket holders here? Guy raises his hand, right? I said, great. I said, just out of curiosity, because I'm going somewhere with this, where are your seats located? He said, upper level, 464, whatever. I said, I tell you what. I have season tickets. They're pretty good seats. They're better than your seats. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying if you make a bid on this item and buy this item, I'll swap tickets with you for this weekend's game against the Ravens. You can sit in the club seat. I'm throwing my tickets in. You know what the guy says to me? I swear to God, he says, I've got to have at least 4 more tickets for my nieces and nephews. I said, well, I've only personally got 2 tickets.
Right.
I'm only offering to try to swap my tickets with your tickets. It's kind of an incentive to get you to buy something.
God.
You friggin' jerk. And I didn't say the friggin' jerk part. But as I walked away, the guy said, and I heard him say this, and who the hell do you think you are? And this was in front of a room of people.
Oh, my God.
I turned around to the guy.
How horrible. What a horrible evening.
Nice man.
I turn around to this guy and I say, tomorrow, 106.7 FM.
Oh,
3 o'clock.
God.
I'll be talking about you.
Be proud, fellas. You know, you're the guy that's up there doing this, and you're not doing it.
I don't want a medal for it. Listen,
I know you don't want a medal.
They asked me to do it. It's nothing humanitarian.
It comes with the territory.
These guys were just jerk faces.
I've been there, and it comes with the territory. We have to deal with
it. I'm just telling you, I've never had one unravel on me like this one unraveled on me last night.
Oh my God.
I've always been able. Now, keep in mind, I've even played the God card.
Yeah.
When I've done this thing, and I've played the God card in a much tougher room at my church, at the Episcopalian church.
Right. Mm-hmm.
During an auction at the church, I would say to people as I was working the room, God will love you more if you bid on this item. There is a chance that God will not watch over your house if you do not bid on this item.
Right.
Now, of course, you know, I mean, the Reverend's not crazy that I'm saying this, but I'm just goofing around.
Right.
I'm thinking I can get away with that in church.
Right.
Yet somehow when I say this at FedEx Field, I was like, that was God on the phone. He's really pissed at everybody in this room. Except for me, of course.
Right.
It's like nothing.
Insanity.
Nothing. Just nothing.
Wow.
And end up, let me just say this. I got a lot of cigars. I've already got a lot of cigars.
Right.
But I bought a lot of cigars last night.
Well, that's one good thing that came out of it.
Yeah.
Do you think some of these guys just came because of the location and because of the promise of cheap or perhaps free cigars?
Well,
I told Don this when I talked to him in the office, and I don't know whether it has anything to do with the state of our nation, whether it has anything to do with the economic times that we're all dealing with here right now. It seems to me that over the last 5 years, I've done a bunch of these, and people go to these things looking for the big bargain. Whereas prior to that, it seemed that people would go to a charity function recognizing that this was an instrument to raise money for a good cause.
Right.
That's really the attitude that there used to be.
And
now people are really trying to make the big score.
You get
that's
rushing.
Why people go to these things, and it's not why you should be at a function like that.
Right. Wow. That's why I hate doing good stuff, because whenever I do something good, it always ends up bad.
I think now
it always ends up really bad.
The auctions that work well are the auctions where the people that are there to support the cause.
That's right.
Sounds to me like nobody was there to do that. They were there because they wanted some special cigars.
I tell you, the best one I ever did was one of my kids' school.
That's the best. I do that one every year at my kids' school.
And the last year that I did it was looking back now, was my greatest year. Because my son went to an incredibly overpriced private school. Shock. And I found it amusing that they would corral the parents twice a year after we were already paying just an ungodly ransom to send our kids to the school.
That's the way it works.
They still have a fundraiser.
Right.
So
that is instrumental to the financial health of the school.
Right. So the last year that I was asked to MC one of these events was the year, this did work with that crowd. I said, you know, ain't it funny? Ain't it funny? Look at this school. Isn't this I'm talking about a high school. Isn't this a nicer school than any college you've ever been in? Look how beautiful this is. Do you know how much we all pay to send our kids here? I think we all know how much, and now you know what they want us to do?
They want us to pay more. They want us to pay more than advertised retail for these items. And then I would always say, but it's for the kids. And at that point, you know, you'd win them over.
Right.
But at least
right.
you're being honest with it. I was trying to do the same thing last night with these guys. You say, come on, fellas, you're here for an auction. At least make a bid, even if it's a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
You're killing me. Hold on. Wow. He's like a guy who says he was there and people laughed. I didn't hear it if it happened. Jay?
Hello?
Jay, were you there last night?
Yeah, I was.
Really? How would I know you, Jay?
I had on a black hat turned backwards.
Well, that was 85% of the guys that were there.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true.
How am I supposed to know?
Yeah.
Huh?
Would you, if you were really there, how would you rate the auction experience?
It was kind of dry, but it was fun. I mean, it was, you're right, people weren't making bids like they said they were. Like, exactly like you said, but people did laugh at a lot of your comments.
How come you didn't make a bid if you were there, incidentally?
why didn't I make a bid?
Why did you not?
Why, you didn't have anything I wanted.
What did you want?
I was looking for some, you know, something special. You know, one of those,
the big score.
One of those, lights, you know, those, in my cigar place, we already have one.
Ah, didn't need it.
Gotcha. Right. Sorry.
Are you a cigar store owner?
No, I don't own a cigar store, but, you know, all of us smoke cigars. All of us have a lot of paraphernalia. We have a lot of cigars.
You know, at any point, though, you know, I mean, here's the thing, Jay.
Hey, I wonder why you had trouble with that auction.
You paid the $50 to get in.
Right.
You know that you're going to have to lay a little coin to help the charity. I mean, how about just throwing something the charity's way?
Oh, I did. I bought a bunch of Open Texas.
Oh, well, you mean you bought the regular cigars?
Yeah, when they tacked on extra money for those cigars,
good. All right, then they gouged you that way. Good. All right, so then they got some of your money.
Jay,
well, then how come nobody told me that you were doing that? Because I was dying up there trying to auction stuff to you guys.
Yeah, they tacked on extra money on top of the Opus X's that were selling, the Magnus, and people were over there, you know, we bought Opus X's and Magnus that you couldn't get other places, and, you know, we came to enjoy ourselves and find some good paraphernalia for our cigar rooms.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter to you at all when I walked around the room with that big giant cart of those poor dirty kids?
Mira, yo hablo mucho español. I'm from Santo Domingo, so, you know, I know.
Oh, he knows. All the more reason. Well,
well, damn it, you should have done more.
Yeah. And Jay, were you the only one there last night that prefers the pronunciation cigar?
El porro.
All right,
I don't know what
porro.
That means.
See you later.
Cigar.
Bye-bye. Oh, yeah, I see this is funny. Hello, here's Sean in Texas. Sean?
Hey, my radio guy.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, Don, I just wanted to know if you did as good a job as Terry Bradshaw.
Hey, shut up! Now you're bringing up...
Get ready, Mike. Here's right. Mike in San Francisco. Okay. Mike.
Yeah, I went to the same event last year, and I just wanted to let you know that Terry Bradshaw did a marvelous job.
I cannot believe people still remember my auction story.
Wow.
We both, you know, Dom, we both, our most recent auctions have both gone kind of the same way.
Terribly awry.
But I will tell you, I got another offer today. So I got an auction offer today. So,
oh, really?
So you know, they still have faith in me.
Well,
but it's my kid's school.
Chris? Hello, Chris.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Let me tell you, my hat goes off to you. For you to stand up and do that, these gentlemen took their time, took their money, but didn't want to give any more. I'll give the $50 because it's good charity, but I'll sit there and wait for something that I can get for free.
Right. Well, the guy Jay crystallized it. You didn't get people bidding because they were waiting for the item. They weren't there to do that. They were waiting for the big score.
I didn't know the Tiger Woods wife was being offered up as one of the prizes last night.
You know something? I went to one of your old shows before, and you had some young ladies on stage doing some things with some cigars.
Oh, let's just end that right there. When we come back, listen, the guy who actually was the pilot of Spaceship One.
I happened to watch the Discovery Channel last night, and there was a documentary about this, and pretty amazing levels of courage required, even with the test flights for this thing, to you know, when before they even went into space, they had to test fly the aerodynamics of this craft to see if it wouldn't come falling to Earth.
Right. And Mike is the guy who took the first flight. You know, you have to get two flights up.
Now, what is the guy's name that we're having on?
Mike Melville.
Melville, he's the test pilot.
He's the pilot when they did it the first time with Spaceship One
where the plane, the ship, it rolled over 30 times.
Mike Melville is the man. He's the he's the pioneer for this.
So it's like the Rush, the right stuff. I'm gonna say the Rush stuff. The Rush. It's the Rush. No.
Cabbage.
Baby blues. Now that would have worked last night if I was at the auction.
Sure.
Incidentally, I have 300 OxyContin.
I'm talking.
How much am I bid, my brother?
Fantastic.
Okay, Mike Melville. When we come right back.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
Bigger tells me you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
Yes, indeed.
If it's a fast ship.
Fast ship?
You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
It's a ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. I've outrun Imperial starships. Not the local bulk cruisers, mind you. I'm talking about the big Carillion ships now. She's fast enough for you, old man.
The Don and Mike Show. Goodbye. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi there.
Hi, John Kerry. Good luck tonight.
Yeah.
Rich Eisen. Oh, it's Friday. Football Friday. Yeah. We'll pick the pros with Rich Eisen from the NFL Network later today. Brought to you by Tower Records at Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of the music and movies you love than Tower.
Tower.com.
Tower. Tower. Oh, I hate this.
Little horse.
I hate this thing from screaming at the people last night.
You were screaming at the peoples?
I was screaming at the peoples.
And the peoples didn't respond? Perhaps if you'd had Ditka there.
I could have used that blowhorn, that mega
bullhorn
thing, that bullhorn.
I think you sound nice blowhorn. Like you sound nice like Bonnie Tyler.
I want to get you to bed.
5 days till Ditka.
Ditka. 5 days till Ditka. We're waiting on the pilot. Let me tell you also on the show today, while we're jam-packed, a guy who's selling part of the Hindenburg.
Hindenburg.
We're going to have to interview him at the exact same time as we interview Pamela, who was fired by Donald Trump last night.
Wow. Yes, and a kind of a surprise firing, right?
Yes. So that'll be two interviews in one. We've got them both. So like we'll ask the Hindenburg guy a question, then we'll ask the girl from The Apprentice a question.
That is brilliant.
You allow them to interact?
Oh, of course.
Ask Pamela about the Hindenburg.
If they have questions for each other, whatever.
Well, quite an aviation theme we have on the show today.
While we're waiting for this pilot, I guess they're doing a lot of interviews with Letterman today or Leno or something. Mike and I today had a thrill that we haven't had for 7 years.
Oh, yes.
It's too long.
We got to have our
picture. What a thrill it was.
We got to have our picture taken.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not. Oh, hold on. Maybe. Rob, see if this is the pilot before I talk about how Mike and I are. His name is
Mike Melville.
Mike Melville. Before I talk about how. Let me just say that I believe during the photo shoot today that I did fulfill my role as Derek Zoolander.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Owen Wilson's role was in that movie, Mike.
Exactly.
But you didn't live up to your part.
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, I didn't. I kind of wanted to get in and out.
Wasn't his name Hansel?
Hansel.
Here he is now, Mike Melville. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey. Hi.
Hello. Hey, and listen, let me just say, a hero.
Yeah, absolutely.
A true hero,
no kidding.
Because now understand the difference, and no disrespect to our NASA astronauts.
Of course not.
This is a civilian effort. These are guys who got together and figured out how to fly into space by themselves.
It was a competition, actually.
Yeah, $10 million.
And just an incredible series of events leading up to this. Mike, it's got to be overwhelmingly satisfying. I would imagine one of the most satisfying things in your life, right?
Yes, without a doubt. No doubt about it.
Mike, I've got to tell you that when your flight was last week, when it was being covered live on Fox News and CNN, it's one of those things that I went by. I had read about this in the newspaper, and I didn't know it was going to get the coverage that it got.
Mm-hmm.
And when you could see the close-up of your ship going up, and as you got higher and higher, and that baby started to roll, and then on CNN, when they started counting the number of times that your ship was rolling, and they stopped counting at 32, it may have continued. I know you've been asked this a million times, but I have to ask for myself and our listeners, what the hell were you thinking when you are up in space in a plane that you made yourself you know, with your guys, and it is spinning 32 times.
Right. Well, it was a little frightening, no doubt about it, but, you know, we had trained hard for this, and in aerobatic airplanes, I'd trained to deal with those kind of roles. And the only thing I cared about was getting above the 100 kilometers, so I just hung in there until I saw the prediction on my instrument panel predicting that if I shut it down now, I'll make it.
Wow.
So now, Mike, when you started to roll, they advised you from the ground to kind of just quit at that point. Did they not?
Yeah, the aerodynamicists on the ground were very worried about it, and they said we're going to need to shut it down as quickly as we can. But we all knew that if we didn't make the altitude, we wouldn't make the $10 million.
Now, did you get the plane? You got the plane under control before you reached the top, right?
Yes, I did.
And what was their fear that if you had continued to roll, that the plane could have broken up? Is that true?
Well, it could have broken up on the way back in. You know, it would have been fine going out into space.
Right, but on re-entry. Yeah.
Mm. Now,
re-entry is the problem.
Hold on, Mike. Okay. I got to ask him something.
Go ahead. We're excited about this.
I'm dying to know. I know that this is all done for $10 million for research, for Paul Allen's standpoint, to eventually get some type of shuttle going. I mean,
yeah, to have a civilian presence in space.
Whatever the case. I'm there, I'm on the first flight. I have to know. And it's different asking you than asking an astronaut, because they've gone through NASA training, and I know that, I'm guessing you have a bigger IQ than me, but basically what I'm saying is, we're both civilians. How cool was it? How friggin' great was it when you broke through that barrier, when you can see outer space? Can you describe that feeling?
It is, you're absolutely right. It's ultra cool. It's, you know, you watch the sky go from light blue to dark navy blue to jet black, and you can see the planets.
Oh, God.
And it's just the most amazing thing that you've ever seen in life. And then you can roll it over and look back down at the Earth, and you realize that this is the place where all the most beautiful thing you've ever seen from up there.
I mean, really, I'm trying not to be cliche-driven here, but how freaking awesome. And how long when you were up there in that position looking at Earth, looking at space?
What was your total time up there?
Yeah, absolutely. How long were you able to just soak it all in?
Well, not all that long. You know, surprisingly, it's only about 3 or 4 minutes of being weightless.
Right.
But it's a wonderful time because everything's floating in the cabin. Your oxygen tubes that go to the side of the airplane are just floating there. And wow. If you've got anything loose in there, like an M&M or something, it goes floating by.
Right.
And, you know, I took some photographs while I was up there. I picked up a still camera and put it against the window frame and took some pictures and was able to bring photos of the curvature of the Earth back to my friends.
Wow. What was the total
of... If you release the camera, it just sits there. It doesn't fall to the ground. It just hangs in the air.
Yeah, true. That's right.
That was amazing. Yeah. The total number of... how many test flights did this take for you two? Because you did a lot of the test flights too, right, Mike?
Yes, I did. I did 10 of the flights, and there were 17 flights in all.
When I was watching the documentary on it last night, The test flights, when you were first released from the aircraft to right. do your maiden test flight, they weren't, I mean, you can do all the testing in the world, but the bottom line is when you're a test pilot, that's when they find out whether this ship is airworthy
or not.
That's
why they're test pilots,
And they released you, and they weren't sure exactly how the aerodynamics were going to work on this thing, isn't that right?
That's true. We never put it in a wind tunnel. The first time it ever flew in any way was when I dropped off and started flying it.
And at one point during the test flights, you had a little issue with the tail, I think. But you worked that thing out. But, I mean, that's how they find out with you up there in the cockpit, right?
That's exactly right. The tail was too small, and it was very difficult to fly. But we increased the size after that flight, and then it was a real nice flight.
Right. It's important to note that in order for this challenge to be met scientifically, you have to have two separate flights go up within 2 weeks, I believe was the window, and you got to have two separate guys flying. Now, Mike flew the first time. Mike, considering what you did, here's a stat that blows me away. The view that you got, you're not a NASA astronaut. You're a regular Joe. They're counting you, and I was going through, I can't remember, less than 40 people ever who have gotten the view that you've gotten, who have been alive. I mean, you know, assuming that you died.
Less than 40 people who have actually been in space.
Who have gone up there and gotten gotten that view.
And most of them have been obviously astronauts that have been through the government. So you're in a pretty exclusive club, Mike.
Yeah, I'm in a very exclusive club, and I'm very feel very lucky to be that way. We actually are one of the first to ever fly ourselves up there. You know, keep in mind the guys who go in a shuttle. It has an autopilot, and it takes them up there like a bus. You know, they sit there and wait till they get there. But we have to actually hand-fly the plane all the way up there, and I think that's considerably different. The only other people who ever did that flew the X-15 in the 60s.
If you could give our listeners an idea, because we haven't said the specifics, what was your altitude when you broke the barrier there, when you got up into space? How high did you fly?
I flew up to 337,000 feet, which is 64 miles.
Unbelievable. How much higher do you think you could have gone before your airplane just blew up?
And still make it back.
I
think he could get into space, but he'd probably be there forever.
But that's what I was wondering, though. That's what I was saying before he blows up. I mean, before he couldn't re-enter. How much further do you think you could have gone, gas mileage-wise?
Well, I shut the engine down when it still had quite a bit of fuel left, so I could have gone to above 400,000 feet easily.
Wow.
The problem is that the higher you go, the faster you fall back, and the hotter it gets.
Ooh.
And the more stresses are on the body of the plane.
Now, when you came in, do you experience, because I didn't get this far in the documentary, when you came back in, did you experience anything similar to the re-entry that we would get on some of the space shuttles that come back to Earth?
Yeah, it's similar. It's not nearly as ferocious because we're not as high and we're not going as fast. But
right.
It's the same sort of thing. You know, you experience a G-force that's five times your own body weight. Your body suddenly weighs five times its normal weight. And, you know, you sit there with that and there's a lot of shaking and banging. And it's a pretty frightening ride. And then the vehicle gets pretty hot. You know, the air temperature around the vehicle reaches 1,200 degrees. Just because of the friction through the air. And so all of those things you have to design and prepare for and train for.
Now, are you being treated at all as a celebrity? I mean, I don't know if I would know you to spot you on the street. I know your name now, certainly. I watched you when you went up. Are you getting any notoriety besides being on dopey shows like this?
And is it what you expected?
I love being on shows like this, but yeah, I am actually getting a lot of notoriety. I've been very fortunate. I don't know if you saw the discovery. They put a phenomenal 2-hour documentary about our program.
You know, I saw a bit of it, and it made me realize just how much effort and how many people were involved in making this thing happen. If I can ask another nuts and bolts question, when you came back, when you get through, you do your reentry. At what altitude are you really out of the woods where you feel like, okay, you know, you're going to be able to glide, you're going to be able to go into a glide pattern and get safely back to the landing strip?
Right. Well, that occurs when we put the wing down. You know how the wing goes
right
up? We've got this feather type thing that helps us re-enter. Once we put it down and lock it, we know we're safe then. And that happens at about 60,000 feet. Still, you know, a long way above any airline.
still quite a little travel to get back down, right?
So, Mike, when you got back down to Earth after this incredible trip, first ever to do this successfully, what did you do that night? What did you do?
I went to some friend's house, and we had a barbecue and celebrated, and all the kids and grandkids were around, and all of my family showed up to watch it happen, so it was a great celebration.
And it was pretty tense for them, pretty scary for them.
Were you
right after we landed, we actually got a call from President Bush, which was pretty nice.
That's terrific.
Chatted with him, and then night before last, I was on the Jay Leno show with Laura Bush. So
wow.
Very, very exciting.
So Kerry's not tried to tap into you at all?
Yeah, John Kerry didn't make a phone call, we just want to check.
No, he hasn't called yet.
You will.
The astronauts in the International Space Station called as well, and we chatted to them for about 20 minutes.
Oh, those guys, if they're cool on that. Now, what about when the instruments? You had a problem with the instruments. Did you flip out?
No.
I don't mean physically, but mentally, did you go nuts when the instruments started fading on you?
Well, the instrument cut out completely, and I had nothing to look at. So
that would be worse than fading out on you.
Mm-hmm.
They faded out, and then they just went blank for about 30 seconds towards the top. So
I just looked out of the window and tried to orient myself. As long as I was going up, I knew I was fine.
Prior to this, wait, is your background as a test pilot? Is that what you do? How do you? What is your background? Because as I said, I didn't get deep enough into the documentary. What is your background, Mike?
Okay, my background's not all that exciting. You know, I'm actually a high school dropout. And I don't have a degree in anything, but wow. I've been flying for a lot of years. I've got 7,000 hours in about 130 planes.
What's your favorite Star Trek? Is it Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Star Trek,
Star Trek is great.
Or is it Star Trek The Next Generation?
You like the old one or the most recent
Star
one?
Trek Deep Space Nine, Star Trek Enterprise.
I forgot they turned it into a franchise.
Yes.
Which one do you like best? You like Captain Kirk or Captain Picard?
Actually, I like Captain Kirk.
There you go.
And, yeah, well, I like them both. But, you know, Captain Kirk actually showed up to the flight and meet him, and so that was great.
All right, well, Mike, listen, a pleasure to have you on this show. Mike Melville, let's say this, an American hero.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, truly.
Thank you so much, guys. I really enjoyed being with you.
Well, you know, Mike, I do want to say to you that, you know, at some point, and maybe it's going to be long after we're gone, or who knows, maybe it won't be, when we do have civilian space travel and you can, you know, hop on one of these birds and take a trip out to outer space, it's guys like you that contributed to that, not just the NASA astronauts, and you're to be congratulated.
Just so you know, it's guys like me that will mortgage their house to be able to get in a plane and do it.
It
won't
be too long. We're thinking it'll be 3 to 5 years and you'll be able to do that.
Oh, wow. My God. Fantastic.
Here's the thing. Well, my wife let me. She flipped out when I went skydiving.
Thanks for having me, Don.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Nice talking to you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Wow. You know, if the safety record is a little dicey, she might let you.
You know, well, they offer drinks in first class. That's what I want
to do. Yeah, we'll be able to swallow.
These are all questions, I guess, that we'll have to figure out, Mike.
Because I'll try it, but you're going to have to get me way drunk.
Way low.
You know? But then again, it wouldn't be, you know, you'd be up there, you'd be kind of wobbly, you wouldn't enjoy the experience as much. Or maybe you'd enjoy it more.
That's right. And don't forget, what effect does alcohol have on you?
With
at
weightless.
Like, at zero
right.
gravity.
The only thing I can think of is be able to see your vomit.
Well, I know that if you weigh 5 times your weight, you'd have to drink 5 times as much.
And
I'm not a high school graduate.
If that's the case, Star Jones ain't never getting into space.
Oh, my God.
I don't care what kind of plane we make. Give me a break. We will come right back with, okay, this will be two at once now.
Wow.
This is the way the show is now.
All right.
Rapid fire. At the same time, we'll be interviewing a guy who's selling a piece of the Hindenburg.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the woman, Pamela, unjustly fired by Donald Trump last night on The Apprentice.
Very controversial.
Excellent.
Is this a show or what?
Wow.
Stay right there, please.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
While I was trying to figure out why the guy was saying what he was saying, Nikki just hit him. No matter how big a guy might be, Nikki would take him on. You beat Nikki with fists, he comes back with a bat. You beat him with a knife, he comes back with a gun. And if you beat him with a gun, you better kill him. Because he'll keep coming back and back until one of you is dead.
Hey, what happened?
The Don and Mike Show. Smoother than Bacardi Limon, Don and Mike.
Oh, Bacardi Limon.
Bacardi Limon.
Right.
Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Hi there.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Hello.
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 You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yes, we are.
You made me pop your eye out for Charlie.
Hello.
Charlie M. Now we have two great guests on the phone at the same time.
Wow.
We're gonna make this happen because they're both airworthy.
They are.
Rob?
Yes.
And Beth Ann, get in here, please. Rob, in 15 seconds, please. And we're going to interview both of these people at the same time on the show. Please to be telling me about Fred Johnson.
Yes. May 6, 1937. Cruise ship.
We don't need the history lesson.
Blew up at Lakehurst, New Jersey. This gentleman is selling, as acting as an agent for a lady who's selling one of the propellers from the cruise ship Hindenburg.
From the cruise
a
ship.
A chunk of propeller.
Yes, right, he's asking $1 million.
Thank you, Rob. Beth Ann, last night...
Yeah.
Of course. As we've heard, I was tirelessly working in the community.
Yeah.
Unable to see The Apprentice.
Right. You missed it. Missed a good one.
I said to Frida, did you TiVo it? She said, yes. I said, what happened? She said, The girl that I like got fired.
The girl that everybody liked got fired.
So what's the recap on The Apprentice?
Basically, Pamela had been with the guys, the Mosaic team, and then Donald moved her over to the girls' team, Apex, and she was project manager, and she was fired.
All right, let's welcome now to the show both of these people. Hello, Fred.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
You're very. It was a pleasure to have you. And Pamela, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, girl.
Hi.
Now, let's see. We're going to ask each of you a question about your particular reason for being on our radio show.
Because you were both airworthy and we couldn't rearrange the schedules. We have both of you here now.
Let me.
Very exciting moment in broadcasting as we conduct two interviews simultaneously.
Let me ask you, Pamela.
Yes.
Who do you hate most? Who did you in, do you believe, the most on The Apprentice?
Who did me in?
Who did you in, Pamela?
Last night. Who's your evil arch enemy?
Who was your Brutus?
You know, I don't think I had a Brutus, and I certainly don't hate anyone from the show. That's a strong word. I did myself in. I wasn't fired because my team lost by $10 on that task, and I wasn't fired because Donald doesn't like me anymore. I was fired because I was mouthing off to him in the boardroom and being arrogant.
And I guess you can't do that with Mr. Trump, can you?
No, I learned a lesson that you really can't push that too far.
And I mean, you should have known, Pamela. I mean, going into this thing... I can't get a second question?
Fred?
I'll follow up in a moment, Pamela.
Mike, you may take the lead with Fred if you like.
Fred?
Yes.
If it's just a chunk of the propeller of the Hindenburg, why $1 million?
It's a pretty impressive chunk. First of all, I'd like to say that I thought Pamela did a pretty good job last night.
Oh, you watched The Apprentice?
Yeah.
That actually works well for this dual interview.
Anyway, this is an amazing...
And let me ask you, Pamela, are you a fan of the Hindenburg?
A fan of the Hindenburg? There's not an explosive blip that I love more.
Kudos to Pamela. She came to play, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Pamela. Very good. Fred. Okay, Fred, here you go, really.
That's my moment
Fred,
on the show, right?
Fred,
there.
You won $1 million. Has on eBay, has anybody come close to offering you legitimately $1 million for a piece of the Hindenburg?
Well, actually, we didn't set this price. The clients did. We're a quick drop eBay drop-off store, which is a franchise of eBay drop-off stores all over the world.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, that's the plug, right? Is it quick drop?
That's my plug, right?
So somebody came in with a chunk of propeller?
But somebody, our clients came in and asked about it. And I respectfully said, you know, why don't you bring it in? And the next day they showed up with it. And not only did they show up with it, it was her late husband... was stationed at Lakehurst Naval Base in 37. She brought his naval records, and actually, you can see in the picture of the listing on eBay.
All right, that's enough.
Thank you very much.
John, do I get Pamela's question now?
Mike, please take leave that with Pamela.
I'm going to weave them together. Pamela,
it's going to be a tough one.
Pamela, on this episode of The Apprentice, who, in your opinion, would be filled with the most hot air? I know you said you didn't dislike anyone, but really, who do you think is the biggest blowhard outside of Mr. Trump? Get it, Rob?
Yeah,
you see how I'm doing that? All right, Pamela.
The biggest blowhard. For certain, it's Raj Bhakta.
Raj. Yeah.
Raj is under the delusion that he is an Indian version of Winston Churchill, and he really behaves in this persona.
Right.
He's like Raj Churchill. You know, with these big, you know, elaborate, very formal ways of speaking. And then my favorite part is he'll write you an email. It'll be riddled with spelling mistakes.
That's great. That's great.
Let me just be fair.
Yes.
Fred?
Yes.
Can you say anything as halfway entertaining as Pamela has been?
Oh, you guys
should
be up against The Apprentice over here.
Well, you know, Fred, it's a challenge, but, you know, my God, you've got airtime to sell your product.
Okay, here you go. Fred, tell me.
If there's anybody out there, put it this way, if there's anybody out there that's big enough history buff, eBay's the best.
Oh, Fred.
Fred, hold on. You don't have to go to the hard sell yet. I'll give you an in here. Hey, Fred, let's say that I'm a history buff. Where in my house would you suggest that I put the antique propeller from the airship Hindenburg? What room in my house would that be best in?
If you have the wherewithal to afford the price, then it probably would best serve you in a museum.
In a museum. And now, Pamela, if I may ask you.
It wouldn't fit in my house.
She's anticipating questions.
Just kidding.
Mm-hmm. So when you went into The Apprentice, I saw the ads. There were thousands of MOOCs, of course, that were lining up. And of course, you're not a MOOC because you made it onto the show. But now that you're not on the show, are you going to go back to the real world? Do you think, and I don't mean the MTV show, but do you think that your experience on The Apprentice will help you in the business world, or do you want to be
can I tack on to that?
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Can I tack on to that question, Pamela? You know, everybody sort of has an agenda that goes on these reality shows. What do you hope to get out of your experience on The Apprentice?
Right. Now, I understand. You know, I never left the real world to go shoot The Apprentice. So I run, you know, I founded two companies, Blazant and Crimson Holdings. I run Crimson Holdings and ran it the entire time I was shooting The Apprentice, which was no easy task. So I never actually got a chance to fully leave the real world. I just had to continue to run those businesses from an alternative location.
So you did this for fun, it sounds like.
You know, I think I did it half as just a caper. You know, just one of those things.
Just tell you something.
But really, the business purpose is, you know, to compete, you know, hopefully effectively against some peers. I'm not sure they were entirely peers.
Well, tell you something, Pamela. Listen to me, Pamela, for a second.
Yeah.
I've been happily married for 23 years.
Yeah, me too. I'm
but I want to say something to you.
Right.
You're attractive, sure. But you know what I like about you?
What's that?
And don't take this the wrong way. And it's not the show that we used to do.
Right.
I think I like what you got in your pants.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is, what I mean by that, don't dump me out on that. You got chutzpah.
Yeah, she does.
You got conscience.
She's an impressive woman.
You know I have no shortage of gumption.
Yeah, that's what you're loaded in your pants
and
with is gumption.
And here's the thing that's working for me right now.
I kind of like that about you.
What's working for me during this interview, she's also, you know, she gets the joke, which is, you know, the combination is just, I mean, I'm getting sweaty over
it. Excited. I'm sorry, we have to go back to Fred Johnson.
Do we really have to go back to Fred?
Yes, we do. Now, listen, to Fred, to be honest, Fred was booked before before Pamela was.
So Fred came in. Well, is it my turn to ask Fred a question now?
Yeah.
Okay, Fred. Fred, what do you have for lunch today?
I'll plug Quiznos.
Quiznos?
The new steak sandwich
and Quiznos.
Wow.
Now, Fred, how about that? I'm out.
Fred, would you... Rob has a question. This is shock.
Fred, do you think it was sabotage?
The Hindenburg. It's back to the Hindenburg.
Rob, don't you have a part of the Hindenburg in your home, really?
Yes, but nothing as grand as this.
Fred, this is not a joke.
He does have a piece of the Hindenburg. Tell him what you got and maybe what it's worth.
Tell him.
It's like a 6-inch piece of the crossbeam, and I have it mounted. I also have a badge from the landing crew at Lakehurst. How much do you think I can get for it?
I don't know. Put it up on eBay.
I mean, it's not a joke.
No, it's real.
Right.
It's
true.
It's the Duralum frame, and it's actually got burn marks on it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's some fantastic piece. I mean, we get tons of stuff in the store that just, you know, is all, you know, some of it's 200 years old. We had a...
Thank you, Fred. It's time for Don to ask Pamela a question now.
Pamela, if I could ask you, as I mentioned, 23 years, love this woman. I have to ask you, though, are you married?
No, I'm not.
You are not married. Now, I got to think that there's got to be some young gung-ho, and I'm guessing you would like the A-type guy, right?
Well, why don't you just come out and ask her? I think the world would want to know. Pamela, what are you looking for in a man?
What do I look for in a man? Well, a sexy voice. You guys have very sexy voices.
Oh, boy, I'm glad we didn't let Buzz talk to you, our newsman. Yeah. Would you like to hear our newsman's voice if you think we've got sexy voices? Buzz, say hi to Pamela.
Hold on, let me get his music.
All right, hold on. Listen to this voice, Pamela.
And incidentally, so you're not feeling left out, Fred, you'll get the same treatment in a second. All right, Buzz, go ahead.
Hello, Pam.
Oh, wow.
You sexy, independent woman, you.
I feel like I'm on the dating game.
Oh, God.
You're a little more,
number
Buzz.
Two. What do you do for fun?
what would be your idea of an ideal date?
Right, that's what they
all do. All right, that's Buzz. Now it's back to Fred.
I'm out.
Now, hold on a second.
So we asked Fred the same question, a lifestyle question?
Buzz? Fred, are you still there?
Yeah.
Yes. All right, go ahead. Now. You have to talk the same way to Fred now. Go ahead.
Fred, we know about Pamela. What's in your pants?
Oh, all right. Stop it.
Okay, Buzz.
Oh, my
Come
God.
Knock it off.
Right. A piece of the Hindenburg.
Let's see. Fred, when does the auction close on eBay?
It's got about 3 more days.
3 days.
Roughly. Fred, have we flustered you a little bit during this segment?
Yeah, you guys took me off guard.
Meanwhile, Pamela.
Can I ask Pamela a question now?
Your turn, Mike.
Pamela.
Everybody to go to eBay and search.
All right, Fred, calm down. It's Pamela's turn.
Fred, you're going to get your plug in, I promise.
Get your plug. Pamela?
Yes.
Pamela, will we be seeing you on television anytime in the near future? Will you maintain your relationship with the apprentice?
Are you going to come back? Sorry to like...
No, but go ahead. No. It's the same thing.
Are you going to come back for the final boardroom thing?
Well,
are they
going to
bring you?
I'm going to suggest. Mm-hmm. I may have been fired last night, but you have to stay tuned because you haven't seen the last of me.
Bravo.
I know.
And you can always see as much of me as you want. Well,
what?
Eating, but at my website, pamday.com, where there's photos of me and a description of my business background and the businesses I'm involved with. And
slow down, Buzz.
Man.
Slow down. I don't think you can. Buzz is starting to type the address in.
Wait a minute. Let me look at the website, please. Lord, help me. So the page is still loading, and... Listen. They started with a picture of her that's now obscured by a black box, but I'm waiting for it to keep loading.
Pamela, you run all these companies. You're very independently wealthy already, aren't you?
I wouldn't call myself independently wealthy. I'm a hard-working woman.
Yeah, you got a few bucks to rub together, though, right?
Is your website linked to the Hindenburg?
You know, it should be. I guess.
Pamela, here's the deal. Here's the deal. You're a charming woman, and we like you, and If you do in fact resurface on The Apprentice, please to be coming back so that we can lavish more attention on you.
You guys are really sweet. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to chat with me.
You know what?
It was indeed our pleasure.
You haven't heard the last of me.
I like it. You got a peanut in that beautiful head of yours, and keep using it.
I'm trying my darndest, boys.
I mean that. All right. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, Pamela.
Take care.
Bye, bye.
That was
and
great.
Now, Fred.
Fred, now it's all you, buddy.
Fred, yeah. Are you still there?
How am I going to compete with that?
Well, Fred, how about giving out the eBay address or whatever else address you want to give out?
Yeah, anybody who wants to ask questions about the propeller can email quickdropflorida@aol.com or just go to eBay and search Hindenburg.
Hey, dude, you know, here's the deal.
Thanks for having me on today, guys.
We had a good time.
Listen,
Fred.
Fred, I'm really sorry. I really didn't know that the hot girl from The Apprentice was going to be on.
At the same time we had booked Fred.
At the exact same time. But the good news for you, Fred, is that normally you would have been on the show maybe 3 or 4 minutes. You've been on, what, like 12, 15 minutes now?
And Fred takes solace in the fact that this is the very first simultaneous interview that we've done on the show, I believe. I think
that was a lot of fun. Actually, you know, you guys missed Anna Kournikova last night was on The Apprentice.
Oh, really? We both said at the beginning we missed the
we didn't see it last.
Oh, Anna Kournikova.
Well, Robbie,
you know, I just like when something good can come out of a major disaster.
Rob.
The Hindenburg.
Yeah.
Rob's our Hindenburg boy, that's for sure.
I love that rigid air.
And Buzz, is that website loaded yet?
Yeah, partly, yeah. Here's one picture of her.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Tracking lady.
Every day is family day.
I got a hop, gang. Thanks for...
You got a hop? See you later, Fred.
Okay, bye, Fred.
Hey, you guys take care.
Take care,
Fred. Thank you, Fred.
Bye-bye.
I got a hop.
Bye-bye. That means I'm bored. You guys are killing me with this show.
Pound sand, Fred.
That's what he's saying. He's hanging to the phone right now. Pound sand, Don and Mike.
I got a hop.
I got booked. Yeah.
I got to sell the propeller. They got me on with a broad.
But here's the thing. Fred, really, I got to think. On the other hand, with the girl from The Apprentice,
right.
Every radio show in America is trying to get her.
Yeah.
This guy from the Hindenburg,
he called me right back.
Yeah. There's your hand. Hey, you know what? You got your million-dollar propeller. You got your million-dollar legs.
There you go.
Yeah, everyone's talking about the Apprentice, but I think we're the only ones who took this spin.
I just have to say, I'm going to have to sit down because I don't know how much more of this I can handle. If you count the show that has no guests, we have just had 3 guests
mm-hmm.
in the last two breaks.
Shocking.
And we have Nancy O'Dell still to come and Rich Eisen still to come.
My head is positively swimming.
I have not even told you yet why my wife is crazy today.
Mm-hmm.
We have not yet revealed the Buddha Mouse pictures we've received from the singing psychic.
Gotta Buddha Mouse.
We have not done According to Jim.
Wow.
With my brother. We have not heard the Baby President song. We have not discussed our photo shoot for DonnaMikeWebsite.com.
No, we haven't.
No, we haven't. And
I think the way it's looking, the show will end Sunday afternoon. Perfect.
5:10 p.m., the Squared Circle, Monday, here, Don and Mike Show, 5:10 p.m., 2:10 on the West Coast.
I know.
Two massage tables.
I know.
Two robes.
Mm-hmm.
And 30 towels, courtesy of the Hotel Helix in Washington, D.C.
Oh, well, that's good. I'll need lots of towels, and I'll need surgical gloves.
You know, that reminds me.
And not just one pair. Thank you.
That reminds me. I hope Dennis has a good time at the car show.
Hold on a second. Hi there.
I got a whole bunch of CSI gloves for him.
Thank you very much. Dad. CSI gloves.
And I also have body oil.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, okay, bye.
Well, you know, she had asked me what, and I said, I don't know, like baby oil? Like,
yeah. I don't know about Monday's show, though. I'm feeling a little scratchy. Having a little trouble swallowing.
Right.
I don't want to do it.
You know what, Mike? You're a stand-up guy. You'll be here.
I don't want to.
Because by the time we get to Monday, now not to tip our hand, but how many days until Ditka by Monday?
Monday will be 2 days till Ditka.
Oh, now you just ruined the weekend now.
No, Ditka will be on the show next week, Don.
5 days until Ditka.
Perhaps the fungus on my fingers will have cleared up by then.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi. I'm having a terrible day stuck in traffic, and I would love to hear the Buddha Mouse song.
Buddha Mouse. Another Disney feature, duh.
We'll break out that picture. It may not be on today's show, because it really, once you look at the picture, you're going to have to call the singing psychic back, at least if you're in this room, if you're doing the show. Yeah. You look at the picture.
Well, we have time to do that.
You got
to
call.
On Monday?
Yeah. Yeah, on Monday, after Mike gets his massage, or gives his massage.
Yes, please, not gets.
I should say. When we come back, oh, God, yes, something else when we come back. Yes, the TV lady.
Yes, Nancy O'Dell from Access Hollywood.
She's over her period, and we'll have her next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Excuse me. For thank God.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show. They will do you proud every time. Don Geronimo and Michael Mera.
Maybe, Rob. I think so. We'll find out. Some behind the scenes stuff. We're shuffling around today.
Yeah, it's one of those days.
Richard Eisen doesn't know if he can go an hour and 20 minutes. We had somebody to interview, so we'll talk to Rich Eisen. Monday on the show, you know, we've had almost everybody from the Partridge Family. In the 20 years Mike and I have been working together.
That's right.
We've had almost everybody on except the crown jewel of the Partridge Family.
Mm-hmm.
The little daughter?
Her name was Tracy.
That's right.
Wow.
Just like Joe Ardinger's girlfriend.
They're not the same, are they?
No, they're not.
No.
Okay.
Shirley Jones.
Shirley Jones. We haven't had Shirley Jones on the show?
I think maybe one time.
I know we saw her at the airport one time.
You'll have to ask her how Marty's doing.
Did we?
Marty Ingalls.
Didn't we? No. Maybe it was Marty Ingalls we had on one time. Didn't we have somebody?
Yeah, we had Marty on.
We had right around the time that he was marrying and then divorcing Shirley Jones every other week.
I think Shirley Jones, to the best of my knowledge, either based on our own experience or somewhere else, she's way cool. She's a lot of fun to have on a radio show.
And weren't they getting married and divorced every week to get publicity for their...
For a little while. They had a theater they were opening.
A dinner theater.
Yeah.
She's still with Ingalls, though, right?
I think, she is with him.
So anyway...
Is he alive?
Vaguely.
Marty Ingalls? Well, if she was still with him.
Tell me...
Well, I mean, I don't know whether she's still alive. I don't know whether she's still alive.
The Dull Creek of the...
Why did I think Ingalls had some... Well, who knows? We'll do some research over the week.
All right, so come on, get happy, as Beth Ann has written for me. The original Mama Partridge.
The mini-skirted mom.
The Dull Creek of the casket as she comes home to Marty Ingalls.
Shirley Jones, that's... That's Monday. We're waiting.
Jones
now.
On the zoo.
We're now we're waiting now for what's your name? Accent Hollywood.
Odell.
Odell. I bet Odell don't have this on her Accent Hollywood show tonight.
What?
Kathy Lee Gifford. Kathy C. Gifford.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got to be killing her that Kelly Ripa is so hot. Everybody loves Kelly Ripa.
So hot and so much more talented.
Yeah, she's good with Regis. Everything's great.
Yeah.
Kathy Lee put out a CD. We played it the other day. We finally got it. Thank you to Julie Fullman, who works here in the sales department.
Yeah.
She buys us stuff for the show when it gets down to the absolute rock bottom, like the Patricia Heaton book.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She waited until
it $1.99 bin.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kathy Lee CD, I think she waited until it was $1?
$1.
A $1 CD.
It was the dollar bin.
So we didn't even play it on the show until a week ago because
right.
Julie Fullman bought the CD for $1.
Mm-hmm.
There's now that Kathy Lee Gifford has written a book and has written a Broadway musical.
Kathy Lee's written a Broadway musical?
Based right. on the children's book The Family Under the Bridge.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon day.
Shut murder. Up, bitch.
This God. Is just this is really worse than a feather down your throat.
Just shut up.
It's a crime.
Bitch.
A fabulous night.
I can still say that word on the new show.
Yeah.
Oh, but she is. I mean,
yeah.
And there's another word that I want to say real bad.
I know, but you remember. Can't say that on the radio, Mr. Geronimo.
And all the leaves.
Oh, listen to this.
If I ever went to Sirius or XM Radio, though, that would be in my demand. I'd have to have the all C words channel.
Oh, there
channel devoted
is.
To some of my favorite ladies.
Yes, right.
Anyway, she's written a musical. Story is about a French hobo who must give up his solitary, carefree life when he finds three children and their mother seeking shelter under the bridge he calls home. Gifford, 51, stepped away from Live with Regis and Kathy in 2000. In May, she released a gospel album, Gentle Grace. She also wrote the musical Hurricane Amy. And that's all she's
done.
That's all.
And otherwise, she hears the gentle creak of the casket at home with Frank Gifford.
Is this the little boy at play?
Oh, please, get over yourself.
Oh, bitch.
Don't remember growing old.
You know, here's the thing. You make a vow with a woman, you make a vow with a man, you mean it. For marriage, you mean it. You're bonded for life. I truly believe that.
Do you?
However, I do, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about your experience. I'm talking about my own personal experience. And generally speaking,
joke there. That's what I was doing.
I just want to say this.
Did he grow to be
Frank Gifford, in my mind, gets a pass.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
He gets a pass. The rules of God, the rules of society, the rules of morality, the rules of love and war do not apply.
They don't. Amen.
Because this is why Frank Gifford ended up with Susan Johnson.
Sunrise, sunset.
Yeah!
Sunrise.
And now she's writing a Broadway musical.
And I, you know, really,
that nobody
take,
would go to.
Take everything else out of the equation. I have always hated the way she sings.
Is this going to be a good day?
Pretty effective.
I don't think so.
There's Frank.
That's a great gift tank.
Is this going to be a good day? No, I don't think so.
I hate the way she sings.
Wait, what about the one with him driving his car?
Yeah, when he talks about driving his car into the abutment, she's why.
Hold on, let me do that with the intro to the song.
I thought seriously about driving home one night, how easy it would be to take my little Mercedes convertible and stick it in that abutment on the side.
You poor man.
Oh, Frank.
Free pass.
And doesn't she have a couple of punishing songs on this album
for
Frank?
We've played them before, so just be advised. I don't know if that will be on Accent Hollywood, but Kathy Lee Gifford has written a book and lyrics for the musical. And here's Nancy right now. Nancy. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, guys.
Here's Nancy O'Dell from Accent Hollywood.
Hey.
We were just talking about an item that I know you will not have on your show tonight, or maybe you will, about Kathy Lee writing a musical for Broadway.
We don't have that on our
question, and we do a Broadway Minute every now and then. I'll have to suggest that.
Yeah, well, maybe it hasn't gotten to Broadway. Maybe it never will get to
Don't
Broadway.
Worry about it. Let's see. Nancy first. How have you been?
I feel much better. In fact, I went back to work today. We were doing it from the set. I told you.
Wonderful.
Yes, I'm feeling dandy today.
That's good. How's your mom?
She's doing great. I think they're a little tired. They've been running around L.A. and the traffic gets to them. They're from South Carolina.
Nancy, hold on.
Oh, you got a little stinger there on the Access song. Very good.
To play from Access Hollywood. So your mom's doing well?
Mom is doing well. I will let her know you asked about her. She will be thrilled.
And when does Mom go back home?
Your mom and dad will be here for probably at least another week.
Oh, see, my mom just visited me, Nancy, and my mom's adage is, house guests are like fish. After 3 days, they stink.
I love my parents there.
Well, I love mine too, but I got to be honest with you. When I leave the airport, I do have a smile on my face.
Now, Nancy, are you?
The only thing that they forget is that they still think that you're about 19.
Right.
You know, they forget that you're kind of grown up, and they still want you to be 19. That's the only thing.
It's frustrating.
So I'm guessing you're a swinging single.
I am single, but I do have a boyfriend.
Now here's the question. I know that you won't answer tonight on Access Hollywood. Your boyfriend, when your parents are staying with you, first off, I'm guessing, even though you're a grown woman, you know, you don't let him stay over and, like, stay in the same room with you, right?
It's so funny. This whole conversation has gone down. No, he doesn't. My parents are from South Carolina, so they would not understand that.
But you do a TV show in Hollywood.
My dad, like I said, he always thinks that I'm 19, so having a boyfriend stay over.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
It's not allowed.
That's the rules. I understand completely.
Oh, please.
I do, absolutely.
The woman works in Hollywood.
But it doesn't matter.
She's on the TV.
You heard the whole 19 thing. That's the way it works. That is the way it goes.
So for this week.
Especially if you're from the South, you know, because you're very... And he still thinks I'm his little girl. I mean, I'm the youngest, so he still thinks I'm his little girl.
I got news for you. People that way feel that way from the Northeast, too, even when you're 45 years old.
But, I mean, my parents are very, very moral.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very Christian, yes.
Well, but I think, really, you're not alone as far as that attitude with the parent. Unless there's, you know, a ring on the finger, I think that a lot of parents aren't hip enough to deal with that.
Well, I think, what the hell? I mean, if you're going to live your life the way you live it, let your parents... So what have you done? Have you gone to his place this week? Is that what you've done?
You have your private moments alone, you know, while they're visiting.
All right, well, that's all I needed to hear.
Yeah, very good.
That's good.
You're having lunch with him right now, actually.
I
have a question for you.
Yeah. Right? Was that
Hi,
him?
Hi, in the background.
Did he just say, I'll be right back?
Oh, hi there.
Yeah, we heard.
Well, if your son was to have, like, a long-term relationship with somebody, what would the rules be in your house as far as if...
Well, my son is only 19 and a half, Mike.
Well, I mean, 19 and a half, you can have a steady girlfriend, and maybe even, you can pimp. Would you allow them to, be
yes.
in the... You would?
Yeah, but here's why. Mm-hmm. I live in this place called the real world.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine, in the case of Nancy... who's a grown woman, and her boyfriend, really, her man friend, I would assume, as her father, that they have a traditional male-female relationship.
Yeah, but I'd still, I have two daughters, and,
Your daughters are only 9, and...
But when they get to be that age, real world or not, you know, he can leave at about 11 o'clock.
Good. then maybe your daughters can snow you the way Nancy snowed her parents.
It's not like exactly like what goes on, but you do it more out of respect for your parents, you know? You just don't want to, like, throw things in their face,
And don't
right?
get wrong, I will know that I'm being snowed, and I'll like it. Go ahead, snow me all you want.
She has respect for you.
Absolutely.
All right, Nancy. So now that we know your parents are okay, we know that you're doing you're still getting what you need from your boyfriend, and you're feeling better. Let's do talk about Accent Hollywood tonight. I know your lead story.
I love this new title that you've given the show.
Oh, okay, Accent Hollywood tonight. That's in
Access Hollywood.
Access Hollywood tonight, either at 7 or 7:30, depending on where you live, or 6:30 if you're listening to us in the Central Time Zone. Tonight, your lead story will have to be Martha Stewart going to jail, or it'll be towards the top, right?
Actually, actually, we are leading with Britney news because, I mean, of course, who cannot lead with Britney news because it's official. You know, we're explaining the whole wedding debacle. You know how Us Magazine was saying that they weren't officially married? Well,
right,
tonight,
because
we said it all straight, whether they are official or not,
oh.
and whether they have received the legal stamp of approval or not.
Well, weren't there rumors floating around also that they might have been doing this all as one big sham?
Yes, there were rumors. So tonight we have the actual facts on Access Hollywood.
Very good.
All right, what about Martha having to do the, you know...
Martha is our second story of the night.
So she showed up for what they're calling, what they call it, the cupcake?
Camp cupcake.
And that's literally what the prison is called, and it was called that before Martha was there. So.
Right.
Interesting, but she went to prison today, but she managed to slip by all the media that was outside.
No, that's because she got up super early in the morning, right? She went in about 6 o'clock in the morning, is that right?
But she had the prison personnel. They met the media at the gates, and they just said they weren't making any statements. And Martha actually put a statement on her website today, so if you're curious, you can go on there, or you can watch Access Hollywood and find out what it says. And then we also talked to a couple of people that know about Camp Cupcake, so they tell us what it's going to be like for Martha.
And now, so she's in there for five months she has to spend in the Hoosegow?
Yes, 5 months that she's in there, and it's a minimum security. So
okay. Next on your show tonight, let me see, I know you're going to be talking about Melissa Etheridge, correct?
Yes, we are. And who announced that she had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and that's why she canceled her tour. So we have an interview with her talking about it and how she's been treated and when she's going to come back and do her tour.
That's surprising.
We also are on the set, I told you, of the Extreme Makeover, so we have Ty on there, you know, Honky Man Ty, the homemaker.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you mean the guy from Extreme Makeover Home Edition, my favorite show.
Exactly, because you're such a sensitive man, remember?
I will tell you, though, that Ty is the skinny guy, right?
He's not all that skinny, but yeah, he's somewhat skinny.
Well,
he's muscular.
Wait a minute. Now, if it's the guy I'm thinking of, now there's the guy that's got like the 5 o'clock shadow, the glasses.
The 5 o'clock shadow.
Ty's got the 5 o'clock shadow.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's the guy you're interviewing. It's the other guy that brings the bullhorn out that screams at everybody that
full of. Ty's famous for his bullhorn.
Oh, that's the guy. Well, all right, I must tell you, I am a sensitive guy, but sometimes Ty wears on me with the bullhorn.
Hey, there's the man in you coming out, Mike.
But, Nancy, I will tell you that I still cry. I still cry at the end of the show, and I hope I cry again this Sunday. I love it. Just sit there.
The one that we were on today is a good one, a good show. It's a kid who was diagnosed with a brittle bone disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're redoing his house to accommodate because he's broken so many bones because of the brittle bone disease. And so they're redoing his house because of that. And hopefully you'll never have to go in a wheelchair, but just in case.
Oh, God, this whole topic of this show just creeps me out.
Good.
Creeps me out. And
you know why? Because Don's a tough guy.
Tough guy.
Oh, it didn't creep you out. It's such a good show.
I want to tell you something, though. I did have a thought about Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah.
I wish her the best. I thought it would have been testicular cancer.
Oh, stop that. Behave yourself.
That's a gay joke.
My God.
Finally.
Nancy, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Finally. Nancy, here's the only setup part of this whole thing.
Nancy.
What? The only what?
Here's the setup. What's new at the cinema this weekend?
What's new at the cinema? Oh, you're so good. I'm so glad that you asked.
That's what they said, ask new movies. So what's new at the cinema?
New at the cinema is going to be Friday Night Lights, which is Tim McGraw's acting debut, and Billy Bob Thornton is in that.
All right. I'm going to go see that tomorrow with my wife, I think.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And then Jimmy Fallon and Queen Latifah star in the crime comedy Taxi.
No. That one I'm going to see on the 11th of November.
I know that you want to go see Hilary Duff and Raise Your Voice.
I'll take my kids to see that.
P.U.
She's popular amongst the kids.
Is it a PG or a PG-13?
I think it's PG.
That question I cannot answer you. I think it's PG.
Just
PG. Hilary Duff is very innocent. I think it's just PG.
Yeah, but it's PG-13.
You got a lot of really young ones.
Yeah, it's now.
Just PG. All right, so Nancy, you still got your parents all weekend?
I still got my parents all weekend.
What are you going to do with them?
They're helping me organize some things, and then I think we're going out to dinner a couple of nights. My assistant is having a birthday, so we have to have a little birthday celebration for him because he's like my little brother.
Oh, how emaciating for him. He's a man, and he has to be the assistant to a girl.
You mean emasculating?
Yes.
I don't think he's necessarily going to lose any weight.
He'll be a network executive someday.
I said emasculating.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to lose weight. Being your assistant doesn't make somebody lose weight, does it, Nancy?
Yes, no, he's been with me a long time.
All right. But boy, that whole binging and purging thing you had this week, I bet you dropped a few pounds. No, she was just sick.
That's
on
right.
Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Flu bug.
Yes.
Everybody, please.
Much better now.
Please be watching Nancy O'Dell, Billy Bush. It's Access Hollywood, and it's tonight, prime time all over America. Nancy, please have a very safe weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday's episode.
Thanks, fellas. Good to talk to you.
All right, bye, Nancy.
That's okay, Nancy O'Dell
bye.
From Access Hollywood, everybody.
Access Hollywood.
Right.
What is this? Robert, the question. I hear Queen Latifah is not actual royalty. What say you, Nancy?
And you didn't ask her?
Maybe next time, Robbie.
Yeah, maybe would she understand Robbie's dry wit.
Hello, here's the hotline. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, this is the hotline to a radio station. You're on the air.
It's Rich Eisen.
Oh, Rich.
Oh, hey,
hi, Rich.
Hey, it's Don and Mike. Hold on, dude. Hey, we thought you were going late today.
No.
Oh, you're on time.
I was just emailed saying that I could do it.
Oh, hold on. I got to do commercials, okay?
Okay, sure.
Hold on, Beth Ann will talk to you. Hold on. For Christ's sake.
I was in here when you were just told that.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what happened there.
Spooky. So Rich Eisen will be on the show next for the NFL Pick the Pro.
Yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did you really mean what you said up there?
Uh-huh. I just want you to be happy, Mary.
But I'd be happiest with you.
What about Brett Favre?
The Don and Mike Show. Syphilicious, the Don and Mike Show.
Well, now this is the first. It's the Don and Mike Show. Rich Eisen standing back. I've got to get right to Rich because he's on a tight schedule. Mike is in the other room watching the Red Sox game.
Ah.
I said to Mike, Rich is on a tight schedule today.
Uh-huh.
I got a lot of stuff to talk to him about. Mike said, do you care if I can watch the game? Mike, he's out there, pal.
He loves the Red Sox.
He's doing that. Let me say it's time for Rich Eisen. Brought to us by Tower and Tower.com. Nobody has a bigger selection of music and movies you love than Tower. Rich's show, NFL Total Access, every night at 7 and 10 on the NFL Network. Rich, howdy.
How you guys doing?
Well, it's just me, Don. Mike is not
Where's
a...
Mike?
Well, here's the thing, Rich.
Oh, he's in the other room watching the Red Sox, right?
Yes,
right.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
I love football, and my segment with you is my favorite of the whole time on the show.
I'm touched by that, but I got to tell you, this is a slap in the face.
Well, it is, but you'll find out this is the
it's
world.
It's week five. The Red Sox are up 1-0.
Game three.
They're at home. They're 7 innings away. I know you're a Red Sox fan. You always look for that trap door to form where you don't expect it to arrive. But,
listen, he's not here. Let's not talk about him.
You know, that's what we should do. It's just like a coach. When they're always asked about a player holding out, I'm only talking about the people that are here with me right now.
I want to say this. Mike O'Mara is a thoughtless man, a thoughtless broadcaster.
Yeah.
And let me just say to him, hey now. Hey now. Hey now. Rich, Larry, I'm here with you. See, I'm Larry, he's Hank. And
All right. And
hey now, here we go. Rich, you're on a tight schedule today. Let's get right to this.
Let's go.
You've had a bunch of great stuff this week on NFL Total Access.
Mm-hmm.
First item, Jamal Lewis, he's got his plea bargain. I saw a clip with Brian Billick. I've seen more than one clip this week on your show with Brian Billick using language like you let a GD go, and he said Christ in another situation. Is that a sign that you're just opening up things a little bit, or is this Jamal Lewis situation actually getting to Brian Billick?
I don't know if anything gets to Brian, or he's a coach that perhaps is the most media savvy coach in the league. Not only just because of just the way he deals with them on a daily basis, but he used to be in the 49ers PR department years ago. So I mean he's been on the other end of this sort of stuff. So I mean, any coach might be able to, might get a little emotional when he's presented with a situation, but I think he's more controlled than most. But of course, he's got to wonder how many times he's got to go through this sort of stuff when, now he's going to lose his key running back against the Bills at home, and then that big Eagles game on the Halloween weekend that everybody's been looking forward to since the schedule came out. So he's going to have to go and take on T.O. and the Eagles without Jamal Lewis, and that's going to be very difficult for him against that defense.
And
especially coming off of how big is this Sunday night game for the Ravens now?
Yeah, right. Because this is it for at least 4 weeks without Jamal, right?
Right, because he got a bye week in there, and it's going to be 2 weeks without Jamal Lewis. It's a 2-game suspension.
Oh, it's only two. See, I thought it was a 4.
No, it's a 2-game suspension with 4 game checks.
Rich, listen, do you and I both, let's see if we agree on this.
Yeah.
Although, you know, we go over the topics, what we're going to talk about. Isn't it nutty that going into week number 5, the top two items that any football fan would think about is, gee, is Jamal Lewis going to have to go to jail, or is he going to be able to play the rest of the season? And the second biggest thing is this dopey thing, no pun intended, with Ricky Williams.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the unfortunate thing, obviously, that, you know, and I think that's why the league, you know, came down on Jamal, certainly suspended him. And, you know, a lot of people might think that he should have been suspended longer. But the man's going to lose $750,000.
Hey, hold on, Rich. We're joined right now by...
Hi, Rich.
By Mike O'Mara. Was
they got an insurance run, so you're back with me. Is what it is?
2-0 bottom of the third game.
Yeah, so they got a little cushion for Bronson Arroyo.
Yeah.
You feel cool? You can just chill with me now.
Bronson Arroyo and his cornrows doing very well in the game today. And they got Escobar up to about 68 pitches. So it's
inning. It's still a ways to go.
I just thought I'd drop by and say hi.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Nice chat with you, Rich.
You got it.
Rich, as promoted, and I told you about this. I'm glad you went with this week. Months ago on Total Access, you had a big deal this week when David Carr had a press conference of the Texans and finally got a haircut because they won 2 in a row, right?
Yeah, we got him. We got him on Texans cam getting his hair cut. As you're the one who pointed that. I forgot he had said that.
Yes,
you're the one who pointed that out to me last week that he had said that previously on Texans cam.
Because I'm not thoughtless, Rich. I'm here for your segment.
Yeah, you listen. You're helping. What are you? You're helping me help you, or the other way around?
Yeah,
I can't even tell.
Something like
that. You're there for me. Let me just put it that way, and I appreciate that. But we got the team cam to shoot his haircut, and then he came on Monday. So you're like producing our show for us.
That was a coup for you. Listen, we're on in Tampa Bay, 1010 The Buzz.
Yep.
What about John Gruden switching to Chris Sims this week and dumping Brad Johnson? Does it even matter that he's switching quarterback?
No, I think if he's 0-4 at this point, you know, I know he wouldn't come out and say that he's pulling the plug on the season, because there's still something that can be done. If they win the next 3 games and they're back in it, you know, and why not? I mean, let's see what this guy can do. I mean, if Brad Johnson is being hectored in the pocket, I mean, at least this guy can get out of it, you know. And the other way is, obviously, he's a rookie, and you might take some rookie lumps, which is the last thing you need to do when you're 0-4, you know, because you could wind up 0-6 in a hurry. But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's any secret that the Buccaneers roster is lacking, let's put it that way, in young big name talent. I mean, there may be a lot of young players that you haven't heard about, but it's time for them to see if youth can serve there right now, because the older veterans on that team are either hurt or holding out. So it's time to see what the young kids can do, and why not try Chris Sims and see what he can do, and maybe John Gruden finds a little lightning in the bottle, and this kid can turn things around for a team that's floundering after 4 games.
And there's something about Rich. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had him, obviously. Well, you pick games. No, that's cool, because you've got the NFL show. I'm watching this week. They have on NFL Total Access Hollywood Fantasy League.
Yeah.
Now, he's got the beautiful Regina King on.
Hey, now.
Yeah, right. Hey, now. There you go. Hey, now. So, she's wearing a Dolphins jersey.
Yes.
And they're talking about her fantasy team. And she mentions in passing to Rich, she says, hey, I understand you're a Jets fan.
Mm.
You should have seen Rich Eisen's face. It turns as red as the red in that American flag.
You know,
and he says, I'm a fan of all 32 teams here at the NFL Network. I'm afraid. And I'm thinking, Rich, what, you're afraid to say on your own show you're a Jets fan?
Well, you know what? I grew up in New York City. You know, I still wear the emotional scars of A.J. Dewey every day of my life. I will be interviewing Dolphins players and firing up Dolphins cam and Patriots cam and Bills cam. And the last thing that I would want is for them to not want to come on because they think I'm biased in any way, which I am not.
But Rich, you're not.
You know?
But they
that
know.
Red light goes on, Don. You know, I mean, I'm focused on the task at hand, which is to bring the news in an impartial fashion.
Baby, I know that, but you must listen to me. When you say, let's fire up Saints camp, let's fire up Packers camp, it's different than when you say, let's fire up J-E-T-S cam. Come on. The subtle viewer knows.
Right.
Okay, running
well, out. Well, you're out there, and you're watching. You're dare I say, lurking.
Yes, I am.
You should say that.
Here we go. I know you're running out of time, so very briefly tell me.
Sure.
The health of Brett Favre, and one of the Packers do, Mike is back, but never mind. What, Mike?
Bottom of the third is over, Don. I just
what is the health of Brett Favre? Doug Peterson is gone. What happens if he gets knocked out? Is Green Bay done? Forget about it. Without
this kid, Craig Knoll's got an arm, but you know, I think you could see what they may think of his, shall we say, viability when they went out and they traded Mike McKenzie and made part of the deal this young quarterback JT
O'Sullivan, right?
Saints. So I don't know. I mean, maybe if the kid gets in there, that he can do something. I know that they sure hope that he doesn't get the chance. Favre has not finished the last two games for Green Bay, which is definitely cause for concern, not alarm. But I think he'll be ready to roll on a Monday night, and his history proves Favre playing with pain is like Jordan playing with the flu.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't want to doubt this guy at all. But McNair's the same way, and both those guys seem to be ready to go on Monday night, because if it was Billy Volek against Craig Knoll, it would be ABC sacked on Monday night.
And finally, Rich, in your opinion, we know you're a Jets fan. Best
did he admit to the Jets thing?
Yes, he did.
Right.
Best team and worst team right now in the league.
Well,
right now,
team in the league right now.
As we enter week five.
I would say the AFC. I'll take it conference. I think you have to go with the world champs.
With the Patriots, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, in the AFC. And in the NFC, I still have to toss it up between the Philly Birds and the Seattle Birds at this point. I mean,
gotcha.
We'll have to see, you know, but the way Philadelphia's, I mean, McNabb is easily the best quarterback in the league this year. I mean, I don't think there's any dispute. And that offense is clicking, and so far so good in terms of their main parts being healthy on that offensive end. And, you know, but the Eagles coming off their bye, it'll be awful interesting to see how they handle things at home against the Rams.
Who's the worst team? Because I watch Miami.
I think in the AFC, you know, you'd think Miami, but that defense is so good. I mean, you can't have a defense like that on the worst team in the league. But it's one of those things, like Bill Parcells said, you are what you are, you know, and you can't, you know, you're 0-4 for a reason, you know, and they're 0-4. And I think the poor 49ers out in the NFC is definitely the
worst
most underachieving team out there right now.
Worst team. Hey, listen, I know you got to go. This is it. Do you think Arizona played well last week? I mean, I know they won the game.
With Emmett? I mean, how great was that?
Yeah, that was,
who would have thought you'd see a performance like that at Emmett? I mean, there's so many people thought he was done.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally done. Like, can't hit the hole like he used to, can't carry a team like he used to. And earlier in the game, he fumbled on the goal line, and then that reinforced a lot of people's similar beliefs, and then boom.
Rich, great talking to you. Again, this is Don, the guy that watches you, supports your show. Mike has just walked back in.
Mike is delinquent.
I'm back in here, Rich, and I just want to say, you know, I love you, man.
Thanks for being there for me.
All right,
let me mention, hey, Mike, do you know what channel on DirecTV the NFL Network's on?
283?
No.
Channel 212.
I knew that. I was
212.
Thanks for leaving the light on for me, Don.
Rich's show. NFL Total Access every night at 7 to 10. Rich, have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rich. Rich Eisen brought to us by Tower Records, Tower.com. Tower should be your only source for music and movies. The best place to go and discover music at Tower Records has been your choice for over 40 years. Oh, we need more music, Robbie. We need more of that crazy NFL Access music.
Thanks, my good man.
Hot. New releases, R.E.M., Around the Sun, Tom Waits, Real Gone, and William Shatner. Yes, William Shatner.
Also,
on DVD, Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11. Online at Tower.com. Tower Records, everything worth watching is here. Mitch Eisen's show, NFL Total Access. Every night, please go to NFL.com for more information. How was the game?
You know what? I could not have asked you for a better segment off, because I was able to enjoy a very productive 2-0 bottom of the third for the Red Sox. And it was perfect timing because, you know, they got out of it, and I was able to at least say hi to Rich. It's October.
That's nice.
And we all know what that means.
Hey, now. Oh, that was great. That was good and fun.
Yeah.
Did you want to pick the games?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm ready to do that if you want to do that.
You're going to commit to be here for the next 2 to 3 minutes?
I will be here for the rest of the show. Right. It was funny. Did you give the background on what happened exactly? We were kind of crunched for time during that segment.
What happens is Rich normally is on for 20 minutes. He had about 15 minutes this week.
Right.
So as we're going on, I said to Mike, you know, I'm a big mouth to begin with. I said, but because I talked to Rich Eisen during the week and emailed him stuff, I kind of got...
So let me handle this, you know, the segment. Kind of, you know, just alluding to the fact that we had to... That my participation should be just a little bit limited compared to normal.
Because we had to fly
right.
fly through this thing.
Which I would understand under any circumstances, but I figured the door was open a little bit. I said, well, sure. If you really feel... any chance I could just go watch the bottom of the third?
No, it was
and
you
said,
funny.
Knock yourself out, and I flew down the hall.
It was
his shirt
funny.
Never touched his back. He was out of here.
It was funny with Rich, too.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Mike's not here because I think he thought at first it was a joke.
Right, right. Yeah.
That you weren't.
Well, I did want to at least be polite and come back in after they scored the second run and say hi.
That was nice.
That was nice?
It was nice.
Robbie?
Yeah.
All right, let's pick the five biggest games of the week. And I think we both got our asses kicked last week.
Oh, did we really?
I think we made really retarded picks.
Is anybody keeping track of this thing? You know, I don't write it down.
Buzz?
I got it. Yeah.
I don't know.
Thanks, Buzz.
Hello?
Hey, did you keep track of who picked what last week?
Last week I didn't, but this week I will.
All right, good.
Okay.
Wow. Did you do good? You just eat a Percocet?
Trailing off.
last week I did.
Well, this week I will.
Game.
Oh, hold on. Here's a call you're not going to want to hear, Mike.
What's that?
Scott.
Troy Goss just hit a home run 2-1.
Oh, that's all right. No problem.
Hey, listen, stop it. I want Mike to be in here for the rest of the show.
No sweat.
2-1. Angels coming back.
Get out of here.
Thanks right. for calling, ass.
Robbie, let's pick.
All right, the 1 o'clock game on Sunday, New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys.
Tough one.
Mike, go ahead.
Oh, God, this is a tough game. Very tough game for me to pick with my heart. I still think the Giants might have a little something, but Parcells is... It's weird. It's weird when he's playing the Giants because he's got that history with the Giants. I'm going to go with Dallas in this game. I think the Giants are going to lose this one.
Yep, me too. Next.
Okay, agreed. Carolina Panthers at the Denver Broncos.
Carolina. Big. Carolina will not lose 2 in a row.
Carolina. Carolina's, you know, the record does not indicate the team. I think they're going to do well against Denver.
St. Louis Rams at the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm.
Tough one.
Brother.
Brother.
Brother. Mm-hmm. See, I'm torn. This is what fantasy football does to you. I'm torn because I'm starting Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce this week. However, I also have Matt Hasselbeck. Yee, Christ. Seattle.
Yeah.
Seattle. Without a doubt, Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you were laboring over that one. I think it's Seattle.
Because I tell you, I still...
Seattle's got a great defense this year.
I think that St. Louis is still scary good.
Okay.
What they want to be.
A beltway battle Sunday night. Ravens at the Redskins.
Like, you have to ask. Listen, I would love to pick Coach Gibbs. You know, when I was at the stadium last night, I had a bunch of people who were at this charity event ask me why I hate Dan Snyder so much. And I had to explain to them, I hate the man, and I hate the commercialization he's brought to the Redskins.
Right.
But I still love the Redskins. Ravens are going to win by at least 14. Mike.
This is the game that the Washington Redskins surprise people.
Wow.
They are not nearly as bad as their record. They're going to come back, and they are going to win this game.
You got
this
money?
This game, for whatever reason. Hold on a second. Can I just finish, please?
You got any money?
Yes, I have a few dollars that I'd put out. I'd put a 20 spot on this game.
Would you? You're
yes,
on.
Yes, I would. Are you going to give me points?
Why would I give you points?
What's the spread?
It's
got to be either even or the Redskins favored because the game's at FedEx.
It's even right now.
Yeah,
even.
No points for me. Oh. All right, I'm still going with the Redskins. I think the Redskins, this game
has, because of the success of the Ravens, has newfound significance. And I think they're creating quite a little rivalry, and people are going to be charged up for this game. I'm going with the Redskins.
No. I hate to say that on the Redskins radio station, but choose the Ravens. And Robbie?
Monday Night Football, it's Steve McNair's sternum versus Brett Favre's bruised brain.
Where's the game at?
It is at Bruised Brain.
Green Bay. Green Bay.
Do you not agree this is one of the toughest games of the week? You pick with your heart when you pick Green Bay. But
no, I'm not. Because
pick with your sternum.
Well, I heard you and Mr. Eisen talking about this this backup quarterback that might be playing in place of Favre. That's what it hinges on. I'm going to go with Tennessee.
All right, so those are our picks.
Okie doke.
All right, let me make sure she wrote them down.
I wrote them down.
Hello?
Okay. Let's recap. Who picked what?
Okay, you both picked the Cowboys winning over the Giants.
Yes.
You both picked the Panthers over the Broncos. You both picked the Seahawks over St. Louis. Now, this is where you disagreed. Don picked the Ravens to win, and Mike picked the Redskins to win.
Right.
And in the Packers-Titans game, Don picked the Packers. I wasn't listening to what Mike said, so I don't remember.
Mike picked the Tennessee Titans.
Okay, so I got it now.
I'm not listening to what Mike said. Why should today be any different?
I listen with my heart, not with my ears.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, sorry.
Merry Christmas.
Okay.
Did that Dan?
Yeah.
But Dan, really, why are you wearing a Christmas sweater?
This is like my favorite. This is really, truly a Christmas shirt.
Okay, you're right. It's not a sweater. I apologize. It's girls' clothing. Why are you wearing a Christmas shirt?
Because I like it.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And in just a couple months, it'll be timely.
Yeah, but the way you're going, and that, and when December hits, you'll wear an Easter bonnet.
But Beth Ann, you've been wearing Christmas clothes
since June.
Since you were hired in June.
Don't even ask me. There was one year that I kept my tree up almost all year.
Hey, Ed McMahon.
Well, you like the season, huh?
I do.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you.
We need a little Christmas spirit around here.
Yes, we do.
Very good.
Okay.
Does your dog enjoy Christmas?
Loves Christmas.
Sure.
She has those antlers I put on her head.
Who do you enjoy celebrating Christmas more with, your dog or your daughter?
My daughter.
Hey, there you go. But she learned she got the right answer.
And look at the boy. He's got the Christmas hat on.
Put your Santa hat on.
Put your Santa hat away, Rob. For God's sakes. All right, thank you, B.A.
You're welcome.
See you later. Bye-bye. All right.
All righty then.
Here we go. How are you anyway? 877-365-3636. Let's do a phone scan. These would be live on-screen calls. Mike?
Yes, Don.
Why are you leaving now?
I'm not leaving.
Look at you. Your body language indicates you're going to spring from the chair.
I am. Like a cheetah.
To go watch the game. We'll go and just come back to the phone.
No, I'm not doing that. No, that's irresponsible. I'm not going to be irresponsible. I'm not letting you hang here. This is an important part of the show. You pre-promote the phone scam. We do a little something. And sometimes I even manage to throw something in funny.
877-365-3636. Calls from anywhere. Calls that are unscreened. Call now. A phone scan is straight ahead.
It's October and I'm cramping.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
No, listen. Now it's almost like the hang-up game.
No.
I'm not leaving. Not going to go to break till you leave.
I'm not leaving. I'll stay till 7 o'clock.
Not going to break.
Okay.
You stay till 7?
Huh?
You stay till 7?
Yeah, I will.
That'd be 5 extra minutes.
Yeah, I would. I would, just to win.
Okay? I'm competitive, too. I'm competitive, too.
All right, Mike?
Yes.
Go to your room.
All right, I'll leave.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, I know we should go back on the network now. Just want to make sure.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? How are you anyway?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don't get mad at me.
Attention! Attention! News is dead.
I'm mad at you.
I repeat, news is dead, fuckhead. So does Powell. And those four guys from the East German All-Stars, your boys down at the bank, they're going to be a little late.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, what a hoot, and so totally refreshing.
It's the sacred time. The time for Don and Mike.
You going to be able to join us for this whole segment?
I'm going to join you for the whole segment, and something for that last caller.
You reckon?
4-1 Red Sox.
Wow. I'd like to point out, Mike is getting a massage because the Red Sox...
Giving.
I'm not sorry.
Getting. Giving a
Mike
massage.
Is, Mike is giving a massage. You're right. Although you'll be giving... You'll be getting pleasure and giving pleasure.
I'll be getting a lot of pleasure.
Mike is massaging both Dennis Murphy and Robert the Angry Mailman.
Wow.
Stand-up guy. Monday at about 5 o'clock, two massage tables... No waiting, all because of your beloved Boston Red Sox.
Fingers itching.
Stay tuned.
Oops.
And effective 5:30 on Monday, Mike will no longer bite his nails.
I'd be lying if I said I was looking forward to it. I mean, who would look forward to that?
Right. I am.
I'm actually a little freaked out about it. Yeah, but and we're going to have tables side by side. I'll just be walking along the tables.
Correct, Amanda.
Simultaneously giving them a massage.
That's
right.
Great.
Would you do the Mr. Jefferson thing where
What's
you walked
that?
On their back?
No, I won't. Thank you. They don't have surgical gloves for the feet.
877. We need to do some of those footies.
Footies, no.
What did Ellis call them? Sooties?
Footies.
Where's my sooties?
That's right. I think actually I might hurt both of them if I walked on their backs.
Phone scan. 877-365-3636. These are live on-screen calls and the last phone scan of the week. Hello.
Yeah.
A Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Speak to us. Yes,
no.
Go ahead.
You're on the air.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
Hey, puppets. Puppets. Team America tomorrow night. Have you heard about this movie?
What movie?
Team America.
The Team America World Police.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer for it.
Hold on. I've seen...
puppets, it does look funny.
It's a takeoff on... What was it? Firebirds? What was the name of that?
Thunderbirds.
Right.
Yeah, the Thunderbirds where they were all like marionettes.
Yeah, not a chance, my friend. Enjoy it, though.
Wait. Shirley Jones.
What about Shirley Jones?
She was once married to Jack Cassidy.
That's correct. Jack
True.
Cassidy. Yeah, we do that. Jack Cassidy. I'm Jack Cassidy, and I'm bisexual. I burned in a fire. A fire. Ah, Shirley, light my cigarette with a cigarette holder, and then I'll casually fall asleep, causing a serious fire.
Say, Columbo.
Yes, Columbo.
Have you seen my sons, David and Sean?
They're Cassidy's, too. I'm Jack Cassidy.
This really is a smoking jacket.
There you go. And it's extraordinarily flammable.
I'm Jack Cassidy.
Burn, baby, burn.
That puppet movie's really dirty. It has, like, puppet nudity.
Yeah. Is it really?
Puppet sex, yes.
Oh, I'm there.
Puppet sex.
Yeah.
Yes.
Puppets.
Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Hope it's not rough puppet sex. RPS.
It's in the strings break.
Rough puppet sex.
Hold on, string.
Don and Mike, playful puppy sex.
Puppet
sex.
Puppy sex is another website.
Yeah. That's true. Shake it in a figure eight.
Hello, Don and Mike. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. How are you guys today?
Hello.
We're doing great, thanks.
Great. Hey, whatever happened to Charlie and Lisa?
Whatever happened to Charlie and Lisa?
Yeah.
Charlie,
they got married.
Yeah, well, I know that.
Charlie resigned as our producer about 6 months ago, and Lisa is... still working on the third floor as, like, the assistant to the program manager.
Hell, you ought to bring him down and interview him, straighten him out.
Well, we will. We'll do that. Yeah. We'll do that soon.
You know what? I think I'll do. That'd be a good plan for Monday's show. I'll bring everyone who used to work on the show and bring them all back.
I like it. I like
you
it.
Yeah.
Well, count on it. It might take a little bit of doing to get that together this weekend, but we'll work
for you.
On it.
Now, listen. We can't do it Monday, but I guarantee we will do it on October the never. How is that?
Okay? That's not on my calendar.
Very good.
Right, correct.
There he is. It's
hello.
Getting close to 6 o'clock on Friday, East Coast time.
Don and Mike show. Hello, phone scan.
Hello, Don Mike?
Yeah, hi, it's us. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Katie. I'm coming home from Penn State for the weekend. And I was wondering, do you guys broadcast in Pennsylvania anywhere? Because I missed you when I'm at school.
We're all over Pennsylvania.
Darling,
oh, yeah?
We're in many places in Pennsylvania. Hold on, Beth Ann will tell you. And very soon, you'll be able to go to DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Really?
And that will have the complete, true affiliate list
soon.
So
glorious.
Hold on, I'll let you talk to Beth Ann, okay?
All right, thank you.
Always nice to speak to a co-ed.
Thank you, sweetie. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, radio gods and my personal god, Buzz.
Hi.
Once again.
Nice to see you.
Buzz is your personal god, sir?
I love Buzz. He's cool.
Yeah, here we go.
Most members of the gay community do like Buzz.
Have you ever noticed that Johnny Damon looks a lot like Jesus?
Who does?
Johnny Damon from the Red Sox.
No, no, he's got the long hair and the beard, but
Johnny Damon is, hold on.
It's not really the he's more like a caveman.
Johnny, this guy Johnny Damon looks like Jesus if Jesus took steroids and worked out a lot. I mean, the Jesus that
I don't, even with the beard and the long hair, I don't get the Jesus thing.
No,
I really don't.
A caveman Jesus.
Yes, caveman yes. Jesus.
Like hello. In a club.
Oh, speaking of. I have to give a tip of the caveman.
Oh, okay.
The Don and Mike cap to Geico. They have continually made me laugh with their commercials. Mm-hmm. And the new one that I know I'll burn on very quickly is the one where the guy says, Geico, so easy, even a caveman can do it.
And he's got the floor manager of the,
yeah,
at the
and
TV
the
studio.
The floor manager's a caveman, and he says, hey, listen, that's it. I'm out of here. I mean, I could give a rat's ass about car insurance.
Right. But
those,
it's funny.
Those are good spots.
And Geico also, first of all, insurance companies shouldn't advertise as much as they do, but since they do, at least they're funny. The Geico commercials do also the sleight of hand where they'll have a legitimate commercial for something else that you think is legit, right. And then it turns out it's really
that
not.
That was the old one they had. They had one for, like, hair restoration.
Right, the hair restoration one got me, like, on three different occasions.
The one for the fake reality show called Little House?
Yes, Little House. House, when they did that, I said, my God, this is the best idea for a reality show.
Yeah.
I'm laughing, and then I realized it's a Geico commercial.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Phone scan. Hello?
Don and Mike?
Oh, Don
you
and Mike.
You boys ain't right, I tell you what.
Now, hold on. Are you attempting?
Get off of my mower, I tell you what.
Okay.
Don't have me come over there and whoop you.
See, I didn't know if he was trying to impersonate Don Imus or Hank Hill.
Crazy morning zoo.
Hello, Don, my show.
Hello, Don. How you doing?
We're all doing great. Thank you.
Yes.
I was just wondering, are you going to watch Herman Munster and Monkey's Uncle tonight?
Oh, hi there.
You bet I am, and I'll give you a prediction right now.
Yeah.
Carrie is going to knock him out tonight.
You think so?
Ooh. I got a feeling tonight that tonight's going to be the night. I mean, Carrie has gotten all the prep.
Right.
That you got it. Really, come on. This is your friggin' chance.
Friday night fights.
There's going to be a lot of people standing home on date night number one Friday night to watch this thing.
Mm-hmm. People are having parties, as you said, for it.
Oh, yeah. Can you believe this? Frida is going to a debate party. I can't imagine of a queerer idea. I really can't. However, yeah, I'm going to watch it. Everybody's going to watch it. That's my prediction. I was not feeling good about Carrie going into the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he kicks some ass tonight.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, but I do believe that the country will be able to really, finally, get a sure idea of which candidate to vote for, because I think America responds better when America's been drinking.
Please, please, at the end of this weekend, no more undecideds.
Yeah.
Please, just make
you're not
a
gonna get your wish.
Fist.
You're not going to get your wish.
Make a fist. You know what we should do?
What?
There should be some rule. If you've not decided, now, of course, when you go in the room, mm-hmm. you can at the last minute, you can change your mind.
Right.
But if you've not at least told the pollsters who you're going to vote for by, let's say, what's today's date? October the 8th,
right.
Then your right to vote should be taken away from you.
That's fair. I agree.
So that it no longer will screw up the polls.
Yes, this is true. Stop messing with the polls.
So we can find out who's winning and who's not winning.
You're not a fan of the Great Undecided.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Great Undecided equals Great Unwashed.
I agree.
Hello.
Don and Mike, good morning. Good afternoon and all that good crap.
Right.
This is actually a question for Buzz.
All right.
Buzz, what is the address for the absinthe?
Oh, greenferry.org. There goes Buzz helping another person enjoy their weekend.
Well, and Green Ferry joins us in the front part of November. He will be in town.
Oh, we were going to have an absinthe show for the election.
And in turn, he helps me enjoy my weekends. That's exciting. And he'll come in and prepare it the right way and all that.
He's even shipping, like, proper absinthe glasses.
Ah, wonderful.
Apparently, it's hard to get through customs, so he's going to be mailing it in.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. I don't know where my wife is.
Hey, honey, if you're out there listening, hey,
maybe
you're out there listening.
You might be on the way to a debate party, right?
Yeah.
Hello, my girl.
Oh, there she is. Listen, I'm in the middle of a phone scan, so I want to keep it brief.
Okay.
But really, how funny is this that you're going to a debate party?
It's not really a debate party. We're not going to be, you know, have a moderator and be dressed in...
No, but you're going to a party setting to watch the debate.
It's just an excuse to get together and have a glass of wine and... You know, some snacks and watch the debate.
Great.
Now, without naming names, because I don't want to mention the people who, you know, because they're my friends, too. At least some of them are that you're going with tonight. Is it a predominantly Republican or Democratic crowd you'd be watching with?
I don't You know, I was thinking that myself. I'm hoping that only smart people like my thinking will be there.
You know, yes. I got a feeling. I don't want to mention any names, but I got a feeling that the hostess
is definitely my way.
Oh, you're kidding?
No, wow. Absolutely.
I would swear Marilyn was a Bush man.
No, because you know what? She said something funny. If he wouldn't be even smart enough to date, why would she vote for him for president?
Yeah, okay.
That makes sense.
Will there be door prizes?
No.
Will there be drinking games? Like every time one of the guys goes over and the light goes on, will there be...
That's a good idea. Every time Bush squints, uh-huh. Or every time, you know, Kerry says 90%, you should chug.
Take a drink, yeah.
Baby, listen, Mike's doing something right now that's really bad. He's trying to make me laugh. And so is Rob, and I want to say to both of you guys, I don't do this to you.
No, you don't.
I don't put you in this.
You do occasionally.
But you just got to watch a whole 20 minutes of baseball.
I know, I'm sorry.
So you owe me right now.
I'm very, very sorry.
That's funny.
But I'm innocent.
Yes, you are, Buzz. Yes. Sweet it is.
That's right.
As Donny Osmond said.
But, I'm going to talk to my pal Buzz anyway. Buzz,
hold on. Honey, I want to tell you the jokes that both Rob and Mike told me. I'm going to tell you off the air.
No, I don't want you.
No, hold on.
No, because you know what?
Hold on.
Don't listen to me. If those boys told them to you, they're mean-spirited,
I
don't want to hear it.
They're getting it from me. Just let me tell you. Hold on.
I don't want to hear that.
Hold on, please.
It'll make me like them.
No, I don't think you can immediately make that assumption that we're mean-spirited. I think that Rob and I fill the world with a great deal of joy. And
that is jumping to a conclusion.
I think that's what we do. That's what we do.
Now I've told her. Oops. Hold on. Told her.
I like them even less than I did 5 minutes ago.
Oh, no.
All the jokes. What, Robbie?
Is that possible?
Honey, have a great time at the debate party.
I was talking to my friend Buzz.
Yes,
you
Rita.
Interrupted.
Yes.
Buzz, I would like to try the absinthe sometime.
Oh, you love it. I'd be happy to share some with you.
Good. Thank you.
We'll do it.
All right.
Why don't you come down for the absinthe
show?
Rita, I'm inviting you to come down for the absinthe show.
I'll check my calendar.
See, she's still mad at me after that thing. I was
shame on you, Mike.
I was trying
for
to
making such a cruel joke.
Shame on you, Mike.
And listen, everybody listening, I'm really sorry. I swear to God, Frida would kill me if I talked about what we're talking about right now. So we're going to change the subject. Mike, don't even write it down.
I'm not writing anything.
Don't even write it down.
He's not writing. I'm not writing a damn thing down.
You drew something.
I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
I love you, darling.
I love you, too. And I'll call you during the commercial break.
All right, I'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What do you mean? You call me during what commercial break?
Go on, man.
The next one, I think.
Remember, make sure your reminder, I invited her down for the absinthe show.
Hello.
After that.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, we can't say that on the air.
Now, listen, we can't say that, and we have your phone number, dude.
We can't do that, really.
So you better say that your mom's a whore, or we're going to have to do something with this phone number.
Oh, no.
Okay. We got a tough guy here.
All right.
We got the tough guy, don't we?
He's saying something that we can't air or confirm.
That's right.
Buzz.
Hold on, let me talk to this guy.
Buzz.
Off the air.
Why do I think you're going to try to confirm that in the next break?
Hey, you think
you're a tough guy? We actually, now that we do the show that we do, we haven't gotten her view on it.
That's true, and perhaps never will.
Mm-hmm.
May I give out your phone number? Why? Well, you called and said something about our producer that 3 out of 4 people don't believe in this room.
What? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Now, we can't go down that road.
Hold on.
We can't go down that road until it's paved.
Off, you idiot. I'm sorry.
Friday.
Crazy. Hello there. Don and Mike
Don
show.
And Mike,
I want to yell at the guy. I'm laughing at him the whole time. I want to yell. I'm
hard.
Laughing at him.
I know it's hard.
And the guy's saying to me, Mike. Really, I want to know if she takes it.
Yeah, I know.
Please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I'm wondering, isn't puppet sex always gay because...
Ow.
I'm not gonna dump that out. The only reason I would consider dumping that out is because you suck.
Yeah, that's not funny.
Like a bad call. And furthermore...
Well, don't taint puppet sex.
You said taint. And furthermore, that was like somebody calling with a joke.
Yes, it was. It didn't count. It was unfair.
And the rules, there's no crying in baseball.
Doesn't Danny O'Day, doesn't Knucklehead Smith, don't they deserve pleasure?
Charlie McCarthy.
Yes.
All the great ventriloquist Duffies.
And, it, you know, always I like to mention when we're talking about anything on that subject that you were a ventriloquist and had a traumatizing moment in your career as a ventriloquist.
Another great moment that you love me to relive, but I'd be glad to do it.
Yeah.
Mike, it's at an elementary school in Upper Marlboro, Maryland.
Yeah, young Donnie is a young entertainer.
I am an aspiring ventriloquist.
Right.
I have a Danny O'Day dummy.
I am
such a good ventriloquist when I'm in the fourth grade that I get to go around to the other classes and put on a little show.
The higher grades, right?
Yeah, well, it didn't flip out. I didn't flip out until I had to perform for the sixth graders.
Oh, yeah, they're tough.
When I got in front of the sixth graders, I flipped out and pulled a little too much on the string on the back of Danny O'Day's head that made his mouth open, and at that point, his head fell off and rolled to the back of the room.
And the sixth graders, of course, were in gales of laughter, and you had to leave.
And at that point, they gang raped me.
Yeah, kids are so cruel.
That's a new twist of the story.
No. Did they leave the body of the dummy alone?
The thing is, that's what they used.
Oh my God. Hideous.
Wow. Son of Mike's show. Well, Mike, it's not really a new... I mean, is that...
I like the story. I like the new story.
We never tire of the original.
The ending that's true is really that the ventriloquist dummy's head
exploded,
fell off,
right,
and rolled through the back of the room, and I cried.
That's funny.
I cried and ran out of the room because I was in fourth grade, and all the sixth graders were laughing at me.
Yes.
Public schools, Jack.
Maybe that's why I'm so angry now at all of our callers.
Because of the dummy.
Let's justify that.
Hello, Don and Mike. You're on the air.
Hey. Hey, Donnie, Mike.
Hey.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Who would win in a fight, a hurricane or Ditka?
Ditka.
Ditka would beat the tar out of the hurricane.
Rob,
yes.
How many days until Ditka's on the show?
It depends. Since this show is nearing its completion, do you want me to round up or round down?
Round down.
4 days till Ditka.
4 days till Ditka.
If Ditka is in the Pacific Northwest, Mount St. Helens will not erupt.
Correct.
There we go.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Out of respect to Ditka.
Hello. You're on the air.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Hey, what would you rather do, sit next to Frieda at the debate party or explain to her what those little yellow metal things are on either end of the end zone?
Oh, you mean the pylons?
No, the goalposts.
The goalposts?
Did you explain to her about
that? You know what? Hold on. We got another guy that's
another Shecky.
Another guy that's like trying to be the button-down mind of Bob.
I know. It's just not working tonight.
I appreciate it.
But he made an effort. He worked on
the material.
I'm sure he meant well.
Hello, Don and Mike. Well, Rob, I
think you're giving him too much credit. I think he's just dim.
Yes, hello, Don and Mike.
I know Charlie and Harrigan, and you, my friend, are no Charlie and Harrigan.
Thank you.
Now I'm laughing.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
What?
Don and Mike, I wanted to give you a Kaya update. I happened to be there the other day.
A what update?
I heard your news broadcast.
Ukiah?
California, where you had the news broadcast about the guy in Walmart that was... pleasuring himself, I guess, and had to be arrested.
Buzzing himself.
All right, okay, right. That was in the news, correct?
Yeah, it's a very small town, and I happen to be there. I'm from there. I don't live there anymore, but I happen to be there that day. And, of course, I'm always listening to your show, especially when I'm on the road.
Right.
I heard that, and it just cracked me up. And so I went into a local establishment in Ukiah. Nobody seemed to know anything about
this. Is this a joke?
Newspapers.
Are you setting us up with a joke?
You played a first a practical joke on your one and only loyal listener in Ukiah?
What? No. This is Northern California. It's not going to work. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen that he will say, and he's not listening.
Are you attempting to tell us a joke or tell us a real story?
Real story. All right.
How about this? Hold on. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear? Listen to me. All right. Does the story have a point?
The news story that you ran, I can find. It's not in the papers. Nobody seems to know about.
Does your story have a point?
My mom's from Victoria.
Oh, God.
Even that was bad.
because I am an all-loving God.
Yes.
I will spare your life this weekend.
I appreciate it.
But please eject now. Eject or die!
Hang up the phone. There he goes. He's gone.
Thank you, my son.
Ooh,
yes. Hello, Don and Mike Show. And then I say 5,000 Hail Marys.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hi, man.
6,000.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, I don't really appreciate how you're always talking about George W. Bush. I mean, the man is the President of the United States.
Yeah, maybe, and I don't appreciate the fake redneck accent.
Yes, hey, man, speak with your regular accent.
Hey, Beck, hey, what'd you call me, son?
Yeah, see, come on now.
No, way to work it up.
Now we've had, let me just say, on this phone scan, we've had...
This here is before the doors open at the improv.
On this edition of Star Search, we've had guys who have tried the cerebral route.
Yes.
Right.
The guy that, like, tried to weave my wife and football into it.
Uh-huh.
And then you have a guy like this who just wants to call and pretend that he's Jeff Foxworthy.
Funny voice.
Yeah.
Sir, I never thought I would say this.
Or he's pretending he's the president.
There is Jeff Foxworthy, huh, man? I'm trying to talk about that.
Whatever.
There is only one genius, Jeff Foxworthy.
That's true.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
You know... You're a redneck if. Hysterical line of comedy.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Gimmick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Did I hear you say gimmick?
It was a gimmickry, really. It's his gimmick.
Microphone off for you.
Yeah, amen.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
A little respect.
Jeff Foxworthy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Funny.
Larry the Cable Guy. Funny.
Hello. What can we do for you?
Hey. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah.
You said, what can we do for you?
There you go. Hey, sorry about that.
There you go.
What?
The other day, you guys had the special, the Joe film special with the childbirth lessons for the Highway Patrol.
Right.
Yes.
The guy that did that sounded exactly like Ernie Scarr.
I noticed the similarity.
Did you think so as well,
Buzz? Yeah, right. True.
We'll investigate that on a future episode. The same day as the other, I gave the other guy on the on October the Never.
That'll be
October
a great Never. Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Guys, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Hey, I got to tell you, I recorded your show the other day and played it backwards. And Don, you kept saying, "I want to make love to Larry King."
All right, now we'll let that go because we did have a guy on the show who analyzed the debate tapes backwards.
That was pretty funny.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. No, it wasn't.
Oh, not really.
Hello. Hello, phone scan.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I wanted you guys to know that your Aspen party, you guys are having?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, everybody here in Baltimore is copying off you guys.
All right, hold on, you're the last person, but please continue your thought.
And that craftsman down here, you know, he is on the tool. I don't know if you can say that on the radio.
What? Are you talking about a disc jockey?
Yes.
What?
He did it like a
we don't care. Wait, hold on a second. If it's another disc jockey.
Is it a disc jockey doing an absinthe show?
Yeah, all kind of people are doing it.
Okay. All right. Listen. B-F-D.
Okay.
We really, really don't care.
All right.
And you know, if we all do absinthe shows, then the disc jockey that's stealing it from us and the people in this studio really won't care.
And really, if all the DJs do absinthe shows, radio gets better instantly.
Amen, brother. And stop whoring around with the other DJs. Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, I got to give you a prize, though.
Oh, but he's broken a prime directive. It's nicknames and mentioning other radio shows.
What was his nickname?
He didn't have a nickname. He mentioned that he was going to mention another radio show.
Well,
those are two of the prime rules.
Mm-hmm. All right. You're dead. Dead to us. Hello, Donna Mine.
Crap, I got nothing. I'm ejecting.
Hold on.
Are you there?
Oh, he's really gone.
And he was the smartest caller we had.
We could have had a winner.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Hi, Buzz.
It's me.
He made it up.
Let's try this one more time.
Yeah.
Hello, Donaldo E. Miguel. Yes, as I said, Don and Mike, maybe I have to say it in English.
This is not an auction.
Ande and a Ike May. Hello, hey, ass A. Oopid stay, Ide Frey, Aller K.
Riane, Ide Ere. No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Let me try this one. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
So
no, they left. They got pissed and they left early for the weekend.
Oh, okay. This
All right.
is Andy.
All right, see you later.
It's Andy.
No.
We'll tell him you called, Andy.
We'll tell him you called, Andy.
Zandy, I got nothing going on tonight.
Bye, Andy.
No, John!
What, Andy?
Andy.
I got a pressing story to tell you. All my co-workers are listening right now. I just got laid off today, and I'd like to tell them something.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, first of all, can I put names on the radio?
Andy, I'm having trouble understanding you. Are you eating something?
I'm out in the middle of a windstorm, Sacramento.
Yeah. No last names.
Okay, all right, go ahead. What do you want to say?
Pound sand. And?
Yes.
And? Pound sand.
Mike is doing the dance now. Rob is doing the dance now. Mike's including all kinds of body parts and all kinds of orifices that have never been used before. Yeah. Let me tell you, my moronic friend, for simply being the last person on this segment, and it's really the last call we'll ever take on the air. You want the $25 Hooters gift card. Enjoy the wings while watching all the games, college or pro. Hooters is football.
Yeah.
And you are an awful caller. Thank you, though.
You.
Thank you.
That's a great prize. He'll get to visit his mom.
Hooters.
Yes.
Sacramento Hooters.
What's the news today? Today. The headline should be, we had a great show. We started taking your phone call.
Perfect.
What's your lead story, Buzz?
Today, charges of voter fraud in Florida, and it's not even Election Day.
Wow.
Okay.
Stay tuned. For news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Sure you don't want to give that time up for more phone calls, Buzz.
No, I'm fine with that.
That was very...
Don and Mike?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Keep the secret, my precious love. The Don and Mike Show.
Time for Buzzy's News. Brought to you by Smoke Break. Smokers.
This is good smoke.
Break a nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break. Revolutionary tablet for smokers. Get it now at fine retailers. Here is Buzz Girdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
All eyes are on Florida as we prepare for the presidential election, partly because Florida is a key state where the governor is the president's brother, and partly because of the hinkiness of the last presidential vote in Florida.
Hinky!
There are already charges of voter fraud in this election, which is less than a month away. Election officials have asked prosecutors to investigate 25 registration forms with bogus addresses. One address used more than once was a public park. Two of the 25 forms were filled out by election workers. The other 23 were submitted by citizens who went out into the community to get people registered. And election officials don't even know the names of those people. In the last Florida election, Bush beat Gore by just over 500 votes.
So let me see if I got this straight. What they're doing is they're going out and handing out registration forms for voting that are bogus so that people won't register to vote. Is that correct?
Apparently so. People,
wow.
They go down to the registrar's office, pick up the forms, go out and pretend at least, or in some cases perhaps they do actually recruit people to vote.
I urge you to vote. At the same time, I've said for many years, I'm just not a believer. I don't think that any one president in the world that we live in now really has the power to change things. It's just the cynical part of me.
Mm-hmm. But you're coming around on that a little bit on this election, aren't you? Just a wee bit.
This one's made a difference.
Drew Carey, though. Drew Carey says, now he's stealing my whole bit.
Yeah,
right.
Drew Carey, are you going to have this in the news?
No, I knew about it, but no, I didn't have
Drew Carey says, he's interviewed, it's a waste of time to vote.
Probably.
Why? Because the world isn't run by politicians, it's run by corporations. They control whatever candidate you're going to vote for. So quit pretending it matters. Can you vote for all the cannibals that really run the world? No. So, F it. That's what Drew Carey says.
Well, that's nice. He's just bitter about being on UPN.
Yeah, whose line is it anyway?
You're a smart man.
Yeah, very smart man.
You know, but you got to give him credit. His show ran for like 4 years after it was canceled. How did he do that?
Here's the only thing I can give him credit for.
Mimi wants to vote.
Mimi.
Here's the only thing I can give him credit for.
What?
He's saying something I've said.
Right. I agree.
Even though it's a stupid thing.
Yeah, I know.
It's a celebrity who finally is mimicking something I've said.
I know. So either, but you've modified that a little bit, huh? Haven't you this time around?
No, I think
you're a little more into it this time.
Yeah.
As everybody is.
Vote for Herman Munster this time.
Oh, right. Hi there.
Yeah, as opposed to the monkey. You gotta vote for Human Monster.
Human Monster.
I'm not sure that Human Monster can fix things, but I am sure, as sure as I can be, that he can't do worse than the monkey.
But you
Bingo.
Know what's really sad about that is that says to me that Drew Carey will probably never run for office.
And you always wanted him to be your congressman.
At least vice president.
Drew Carey would make a good congressman.
He will make a good governor.
Oh, and you know who's fallen off the map from the Drew Carey show?
Who?
The guy that was Jethro in the Beverly Hillbillies movie. He has now been relegated to, in commercials, he is the third or fourth player, like when someone with B.O. gets on an elevator.
He's in a JCPenney spot right now.
No, he plays the handsome guy that the chicks seem to dig.
But I've seen him in a commercial where someone comes in, for odor eaters.
Uh-huh.
Someone comes in with smelly feet, and he's the fourth person. And
Dietrich
it's just,
Bader is his name.
What was it?
Dietrich Bader.
Yeah, shocked you remembered that name.
Dietrich. Hi.
Dietrich.
Dietrich. The commercial meet the Hollies record called Bus Stop. Why have I slipped into such total obscurity?
And if I'm not mistaken, also the good-looking girl from the Drew Carey show is now on Scrubs.
That is
right?
Correct. That is absolutely correct. So she's landed on her feet. Perry's wife.
Yeah, that show is funny. I never watched that show. My wife
What about the geeky guy that's the only funny guy on Who's line is it anyway?
Oh, the guy with the big
big neck.
Looks like Daniel Stern?
Yeah, exactly.
Looks like Jason Bishop.
With a perm. yeah, he's good. He's funny.
Not Mimi.
And what about the colored fella?
Huh?
God. You know Wayne Brady. He used to be on that show.
Oh, from Who's Line, not from Drew Carey's.
What, Rob?
He's black.
Stop it.
I don't see color.
Oh, God.
So all eyes are on Florida because of the 2000...
Rob is colorblind. He is. That's funny.
That is funny. Because of the 2000 election that included improperly counted votes and people being wrongly removed from the rolls.
I don't see color.
And it's the Friday night fight, the Patui in St. Louis. The president and John Kerry square off again tonight in the second of three debates for them. They'll meet at Washington University in St. Louis in a town hall format moderated by the folksy yet charming Charles Gibson from ABC's Good Morning America.
Charlie Gibson. Big victory for Kerry tonight. Just got a feeling.
It'll be on all the broadcast networks, all the real cable news networks, and on Fox News.
Just got a feeling. Oh, you know, I want to give an unsolicited plug here. Tonight, if you like, if it gets boring, and it will get boring, turn on Ron and Fez. I heard Ron and Fez the other night during the debate. What, Mike? What are you laughing about?
I thought you said you were going to give an unsolicited plug, and I always get excited when you do this.
Look around cafe.
There you go, Mike. Thank you. Thank you, Don.
Find the marble, win, and your meal is free. So, having said that, the other night during the debate, at one point I got up to go to the John, and we got the radio on because it makes the dogs happy.
Yeah.
If we're not in the room...
They love Ron and Fez.
And if we're not in a room and we're in a room that they're not allowed to poop in,
right?
We turn our radio on so that they hear voices. Anyway, I went by, and I heard... Yeah, my dogs were unhappy.
Oh, dear.
And then I heard... Look at John Kerry. Look what he's wearing.
Your dogs were growling at Fez.
They're trained that way, though. They sniff it out of the fella. But I just thought I'd give Ron and Fez a plug. That is a funny way to do a radio show. And if you happen to be in your car and not by your TV tonight, you should listen to Ron and Fez. They have very good dialogue about what's happening during the debate.
Absolutely. Good Friday night way to enjoy the
debate. That's a good idea. I wish they'd do the debates during the afternoon show.
So we could do the same thing.
So that we could comment. Yeah.
Now, an L.A. Times columnist did not mince words when he wrote in this morning's paper that George W. Bush is the worst president America has had ever. Quoting Jonathan Chait, to say that I consider Bush a bad president would be a severe understatement. I think he's bad in a way that redefines my understanding of the word bad. I used to think U.S. history had many bad presidents. Now my bad category consists entirely of George W. Bush, with every other president redefined as good. I despise him with the intensity of a thousand suns.
Wow.
The columnist says he bases his decision on Bush's record.
Wow. Hey. Just his record sounds a little more personal than that.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I hate Bush as much as the next, tree hugger out there.
Right.
But... ain't there a couple of guys who maybe were worse than Bush? I mean, we don't have all the facts yet.
Hoover.
But I'd have to put...
Yeah, I mean, if you really knew your history, there would be... I think Hoover was bad, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Wasn't Hoover... Didn't he preside over some of the worst economic times we've ever had?
And corruption? What about, of course, Nixon? That's obvious.
Nixon is up there. You
he's
know,
but he's
Nixon
a bad
had,
guy.
Nixon had the whole China thing that people talk about, you know, where he was he opened up the dialogue, but what good did that really
but
do?
He did
some good things in the beginning.
But if you ask people, if you ask people what they remember about Nixon, they say Watergate.
Yeah, right.
So he's the evilest president. Although I think Bush has tons of potential.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's one, I gotta look at my history books, but you go back and I believe Rob might be absolutely right. There was one president that kind of didn't do anything while the country crumbled around him, and I think it might have been, but I'm not gonna throw the name out unless
weren't there like four or five? I mean, when you get through numbers like 11 through 22,
right.
It's like every other one sucked.
I think maybe.
I mean, it's like, you know,
good rule of thumb.
You get like Grover Cleveland, you go, yeah, okay, then the next guy is like Fred Schlub.
Yeah, but then you get, you know, in between, you get your Teddy Roosevelts and stuff, you know, that did a lot, that
give
were kind of cool
give me a list.
Presidents. I mean, I don't know my history well enough.
None of us do,
nor
sadly,
do I.
As well as we should.
And we all should in this country. We should know every president.
It's hard.
No, we should. We should know states and capitals.
It's hard work. Well, presidents, some kids memorize the presidents, too.
Yeah. We did, and then
I
we forgot.
I used to have to know them all in order.
Of
didn't,
course.
Didn't we all?
Yeah, we all did.
Had to recite that.
Being generally.
I learned them all when he was little, but there was only five.
There have been so many changes since then.
And only course, five presidents.
Of course, Buzz was very little. They didn't even have such a thing.
No.
But you were on the boat on the way over here.
Absolutely. Right. Oh, God, it was cold.
Okay. Presidents owe the United States. Now, is this going to be the guys that sang Lump?
What? Oh, yeah, that was it.
Remember that song?
Yeah.
Lump is in my head. Here we go.
Are we got them?
You want them alphabetical order?
Okay. No, in order of election.
Presidents by name.
They've got them in here by alphabetical.
This is going to take all
day. Not alphabetical.
It's going to take all day. Mike, just let me throw out some names.
Jesus.
I'll tell you who I think is good and who sucks.
Let's
you agree or disagree?
All right.
Robbie, just leave it there for a second.
I think I got it here. Presidents by date.
All right.
Go.
George Washington.
Oh, great.
Good guy.
Top notch.
John Adams.
Don't
great.
Like them.
Pretty good.
You didn't like him, Rob?
No, remember? He was obnoxious and...
Hold on. Tom Jefferson? Yes, he's a winner.
Yeah, of course. You got to give him the nod. Yeah.
Jim Madison?
James Madison? No. That's when it starts to drop off a little bit.
Jim Monroe? Johnny Adams?
Right.
Andy Jackson? Marty Van Buren? Right there. I got a problem with Marty Van Buren.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like he ought to be, managing a baseball team.
Harry Harrison? The last I thought was doing the morning show on WCVS.
Right. Mayor.
Henry Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Tyler. Jamie Polk. Jimmy Polk, I'm
Polk.
Sorry.
James Polk.
Jimmy Polk. Let me say right there. That's a loser.
Because of the name.
He was president from 1845 to 1849.
Loved this Allen.
Well, how you feel about Zach Taylor?
Zachary Taylor? Not particularly in love with him.
How about Mill Fillmore?
Nope. No, all the ones leading up to Lincoln, I'm not really hot on.
Frank Pierce, Jimmy Buchanan, Abe Lincoln.
There you go. There's my man.
Andy Johnson.
No.
Uly Grant.
You got to like Ulysses, won a war.
Yeah.
Ruffy Hayes.
Rutherford B. Hayes.
Ruth Hayes. Jimmy Garfield.
Yeah, didn't he, he died in office, didn't he?
Yeah, he's only there for like one year.
Didn't he get assassinated?
Chester Arthur. That guy stunk.
Yeah, he didn't. He don't even hear about him.
No.
You don't see anything in marble with his name.
We're ashamed.
Grover Cleveland. He was okay.
He was a big man. I like the big presidents.
Yeah.
Benji Harrison.
No opinion.
Me either. Grover Cleveland.
That's he got elected again.
He must have been good then.
Yeah, because he got elected twice.
Named Grover.
And he was nice and fat.
Bill McKinley.
Nah, no.
Loser. Teddy Roosevelt. Winner.
Gotta love Teddy.
Bill H. Taft.
William Taft, my man. Largest bathtub in the White House.
Also reminds me, at least when I see his name, reminds me, looks like William H. Macy. Mm-hmm. And I love that movie, Fargo.
And I hear Taft and I think of Kraft, right?
Then
like Kraft Baby Marshmallows.
Then you have Woody Wilson,
mm-hmm.
Winner.
No.
Great.
You can pick that one, Woody Wilson, not for him.
That's right.
Great Bridge. Mike, it's a great bridge.
It's a great bridge. Oh, man, you got
nothing
point
to
there.
Do with that, though.
Then you have Warren Harding.
Hmm.
No thanks. Loser.
Scandal.
Yeah, right. He only held it for 2 years. Cal Coolidge.
No, I didn't like Cal Coolidge.
I like his jeans.
Calvin Coolidge jeans.
Then Herbie Hoover.
No.
I'd say he did all right.
No, not me. But a hell of a damn. You know, I got to give the nod to him.
And
a hell of a damn.
The
FDR. Chair.
And the backpack.
Okay, now you're going to come into the meat of the lineup.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Here we go.
Now you've got FDR.
Yeah, yeah. What,
leading in to Truman.
Good.
Leading into Eisenhower. Leading into JFK.
Mm-hmm.
Leading into LBJ.
Right.
Leading into Nixon.
Yeah.
Now now it's the total loser parade. It's like that. It's Ford, Carter, Reagan, the other Bush, Clinton, and Bush.
Kind of seems like it's dropping off there a little bit.
Yeah.
I think most of them sucked. I think you go through all of them. I think you got maybe 10 solid number one draft choices.
I think you do. I think that would be a perfect number.
Otherwise, right, the rest of them are all bust.
Well, your fantasy president's team is going to be strong.
You got 10 Donovans, but you've got like 28 Ryan Leafs.
It's always football with you, isn't it?
If you were in a fantasy presidential league, who would you start this Sunday?
Oh, you got to start George Washington every week.
Oh, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm starting Lincoln.
Yeah. No.
I'm starting Lincoln, and I'm going to win that game.
Screw it. I'm taking Jefferson. He invented things.
No, you know what? Here's the thing. George Washington is the Peyton Manning of quarterbacks.
George Washington is the Brett Favre. He's old.
Excuse me. They're all old, Rob.
Right.
I would have to say Abe Lincoln, and here's a good tie-in, because Abe Lincoln freed the slaves.
Right.
Abe Lincoln would be the Steve McNair.
Who's your coach,
Because Abe Lincoln is always in the hospital.
You know,
or Steve McNair is always in the hospital.
You know, your coach is FDR. He couldn't run anyway.
He could
coach on the sideline.
Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm. Hold the ball for the
play. All the hearts you're breaking. Do you know back in the day, that was a secret?
I know.
From the American people.
Just think back in the day, I might have been jailed for that comment.
As a journalist, you should still keep that a secret.
Buzz, what was it like back then, when it was hidden from America that FDR was in a wheelchair?
It was unbelievably cold, I can tell you that.
My friend, we have really taken your time. Buzz, who's your favorite president?
Favorite, I think, would have to be Lincoln.
Who would be your number one starter?
Clinton.
And what's next on the news and comments?
Up next, how the Food and Drug Administration failed to protect our food and drugs.
Okay, stay there.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
DJ Banter copy.
Banter, 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 banter.
Falls here. Kids are headed for the bus. Others are headed off to collage.
They may be declaring their independence, but you still want to stay connected.
And if you've got OnStar, you have a cell phone built into your vehicle, ready to go.
Even when your cell phone is low battery.
Forgotten on the kitchen counter.
Or out of range.
OnStar personal calling is hands-free phone. Is a hands-free phone built into an OnStar equipped vehicle.
Voice activated dialing and hands free operation keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel.
It offers better connectivity in areas with limited cell phone reception because it has more broadcast power. I'm kidding about this fake reading thing.
That's right.
And an externally mounted antenna. Mounted.
The Safe and Sound plan costs only $60.99 or $95 per month, plus tax after the first year.
Don't have OnStar, press your blue button, or go to your computer and go to OnStar.com.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
W-J-F-K. Let me just say, before we go back on the network, and I guess we're back. We haven't played the bumper yet.
Right.
Just a reminder to the sales staff, Friday night, last break in the show, that's not the best spot for a live commercial.
Right.
You're not going to get our optimum effort.
I would be inclined to agree.
I'd say on this last commercial we did, we performed at 98% efficiency.
Let the record reflect that I moved it from the last break. They had scheduled it
after
the show was over. Perhaps you could stick around and do a live read.
Hey, thank you.
Anyway, now let's go to this thing.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Merv.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
I hope the station stayed with us there.
Thanks for listening, Chief. Oh. It's the Don and Mike Show.
I hope the stations know. You know, we gotta, when we go to a break, you turn it back on 9 minutes and 40 seconds later.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We might be talking, but eventually we'll play the thing that says, dun, 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 the Don and Mike Show.
That's right.
I don't want you to miss that behind-the-scenes stuff.
Right. That's important.
And now here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The government's Food and Drug Administration exists to protect us from bad food and drugs. But now we know the FDA approved the pain reliever Vioxx in spite of evidence of its danger discovered by one of the agency's own scientists.
Isn't that nice?
What is Vioxx for, Buzz?
For pain. Arthritis, back pain, neck pain, that sort of physical pain. Right. It was even starting to be prescribed for migraine headaches.
Arthritis?
Arthritis. Mm-hmm.
Arthritis.
But we now know that...
Rheumatoid arthritis.
They didn't listen. Didn't listen to their own scientist. The head of the Senate Finance Committee says the FDA actually silenced this scientist.
Silence!
Ostracized him, threatened him, intimidated him.
Ostracized him.
And labeled his findings scientific rumor.
Valvoline.
Rumor.
And intimidated him.
We also now know that the scientist was right and the FDA was wrong in favor of the big drug company, Merck. The drug Vioxx, mostly used for, as I said, arthritis and back pain, now known to increase a person's risk for heart attack and stroke.
Always siding with the big conglomerates.
Martha Stewart did the old squat and cough today as she checked into the West Virginia prison where she'll spend the next...
Yeah, I see fish.
She'll spend the next 5 years.
Here she is. We have tape of it, yeah. Martha.
This is the inspector.
He saw fish.
Oh, God. Where's John?
Oh.
John?
John.
John.
Oh. Martha will spend the next 5 months there for lying about a stock deal. They plan to acknowledge the occasion tonight on the cable network Spike TV. Spike plans to show movies about babes behind bars, chicks and chains, if you will.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll work.
These B-movie classics include actresses like Linda Blair and Jill St. John. Mm-hmm. Now, Matt LeBlanc,
Let
Joey.
Let me just say, JSJ, nothing wrong with that.
Even right now, issues
with RJ, old JSJ.
And Linda Blair, you know, when she got a little older.
You can have all the Linda Blair you want.
Nothing wrong with those, though.
I'll take some Jill St. John.
Well, no, you got, if you're stacking Jill St. John up against Linda Blair, you're going to win. I'm just not discounting Ms. Blair.
Yeah.
All right?
Jill St. John on Batman, right?
She was on the pilot of Batman.
Right.
She got Batman drunk when he was doing the Batusie.
Matt LeBlanc, Joey from Friends.
And that's what it's all about. Here I was thinking it was really a womanly thing. No, right. It was the Batman fact.
No,
of course.
No,
that's what it was.
Jill St. John is totally hot. Rob just reminded me of another reason.
So was it Batman motivated? Was Mr. Geronimo?
No.
I asked
no,
you, was your before. Comment Batman motivated?
Mr. O'Meara.
Yes.
It is a thought.
I'll allow 30 seconds for a reply.
It is a thought that started in my loins, traveled to my brain.
Uh-huh.
The thought is controlled by my loins. However, Batman does play a small part of it.
Then if it is a loin-based thought, I say bully. Bully.
Bully
to you, sir.
Bully.
Clock be damned, I have to get this in. Matt LeBlanc, Joey from Friends, is tired of the rumors, so he went to the National Enquirer this week to explain he is not gay. Not even secretly gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
LeBlanc's former chauffeur and bodyguard says it was also his job to arrange gay encounters for Matt.
How are you doing?
The former driver says he also witnessed some unsafe backseat encounters through the rearview mirror, pardon the expression.
Oh, wow. Rachel, how are you doing?
Usually, says the driver, it was a male hustler.
Oh.
LeBlanc went to the tabloid to set the record straight. In sports, Sammy Sosa fined $87,000 for arriving late at the Cubs' regular season finale and then leaving the game early. That amounts for him to be one day's pay.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the wedding party had gathered at the Holiday Inn in Nashua, New Hampshire. The bride and her maids were dressed as wenches, the men as pirates. Pirates with guns and swords. What could possibly go wrong? During the reception at the Bounty Lounge late Saturday night, two guys in the wedding party were having a sword fight in the hall.
Oh, no.
With their plastic swords.
Right.
Another man walked by, a normally dressed man with no black eye patch, and apparently said something that questioned the pirate's masculinity.
A round of swashbuckling ensued that could see one of the pirates thrown in the brig for up to 7 years.
Oh, how about us with the great sound effects, though?
How about that? We got sword fighting sound effects. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No! Yes. No.
Another great week on the show. We want to thank Matt Poops, producer of Fear Factor, Lee Roystone, dated John Kerry before he married Teresa Hines Kerry, Bob Schieffer from Face the Nation, Mike Melville, the guy that flew Spaceship One, Pamela Day, fired from The Apprentice. Also thanks to Rich Eisen and Nancy O'Dell. Next week on the show, Ditka, Mike Ditka, Shirley Jones, and Mike, the return of Jackie Stallone.
Oh, fantastic.
Sylvester Stallone's mom.
In studio?
Yeah, a phoner.
Damn it.
But she'll be predicting the election with her psychic dogs.
Well, I look forward to that.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Be safe, please. I love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. We'll see you Monday with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 You? What?
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
WJFK. Too busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life. Log on to WJFK.matchlink.com.
Singular Wireless. 23 million customers and each one treated like a singular person. Singular fits you best.
This Columbus Day weekend, come to Lowe's for values that hit home. Come in today and get a free $100 gift card with me.